I was a couple of minutes behind, actually, because my neighbor was talking a little politics.
Hmm. It's always fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. He was a Trump guy, so...
It's always interesting to get a window into that thought process from somebody who's not doing it sarcastically.
Well, I probably would have put money on that fact, and I'll give you the reason why. Earlier this very day, about 7:30 in the morning or so, I happened to run into him outside as he was on his way up the steps to his place with a 12-pack of Steel Reserve.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Should it be noted that we are recording this on a Tuesday?
Hmm.
Yes. So
that's early in the week and early in the day.
Yes. And Tuesday morning, 7:30 a.m., a 12er of Steel Reserve is what was on the menu for breakfast.
Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah, we're Trump voters. Like, that really made sense. I was like, okay.
No, I'm sure Kurt Vonnegut really resonates with the Trump voter.
Sure.
Yeah, they love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. It's like, yeah, that's how it happens. When was voting? November.
Kids these days, you know? It's those goddamn millennials, that's what's doing it to us.
Oh, they're the fucking worst.
Well, they're literally the only thing that can save us now.
Oh, you would hope so, but man, there's just so much mustache wax
being people consumed. People will always let you down. People will always let you down every single time.
Just give them a chance. Yeah. They'll make you feel bad about things.
Oh, wait, people are involved? No, that's not going to go well.
Right, it's like the reason communism doesn't work. On paper, that is the perfect way to handle the world.
Yeah, people in greed fuck it up every single time.
Right, it turns out just people suck too much.
Yeah, yeah. Can you just not fuck everybody over, please?
Yeah,
I'm not going to be able to do that.
How about everybody pulls their own weight to help everyone and nothing costs anything?
Yeah, we advance ourselves as a race of people called humans, and we expand out into the universe and become more than ourselves because, you know, the sum total of everything. But no. You know what I'd like to do instead is keep a little more for myself.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody else.
I'll tell you, yeah, this planet is way more idiocracy than it is Star Trek. Like,
every time I watch that movie, it becomes more and more depressing because obviously Mike Judge owns a time machine.
Do you think he was just like, I'm going to show these guys what it's like in the future?
Oh my God. Like, it's like, I remember watching that. And it's like, oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's funny. I see that. And then it's just like reality.
Yeah. It's a real bummer. Hey, speaking of bummers, everybody, it's the Shodcast. We're back.
Did you hear they're making a new Bill and Ted movie?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think that could be fun.
That makes me not want to blow my brains out.
Yeah. It's that and whatever the next Infinity War movie is. That's all I got to look forward to.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever gets you there. That's my philosophy.
Give me some brain candy. Yeah.
Damn, did you see that thing? Infinity War's all right. I like that movie quite a bit.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hmm. I did power through all of the Terror, though.
Oh, I haven't watched the last couple yet, but that's actually probably what I'm going to do tonight. I love that show. I think that show is fucking rad.
I did not want to finish it because it's so good.
How many episodes is
it? I'm going to watch it again. It's only like 10 episodes.
Okay. Are they all out?
Yeah, it's been out.
Oh, okay. Because I've been watching week to week on AMC.
Where does one find this?
AMC put it out. I don't, you know.
Yeah. Is it streaming somewhere, perhaps?
It is probably streaming in another country somewhere.
Justin's Plex.
I wonder where I could find that.
I'm currently working through The Handmaid's Tale.
Journey. That's a good show. And, I haven't watched the new season yet. I watched the first one, though.
Nah, man. Nothing happens in that show. It's basically 50 Shades of Grey.
That's what I like about it.
And as much as like I like science fiction and implausible futures, like that would never happen. That the way that situation played out, it just would never happen to the degree that it did. I understand it's a TV show, but
yeah.
But you think the terror is more plausible?
The terror?
Yeah.
I mean, except for some elements of the polar bear.
Sure. I
but
every time
spoilers. Are you guys spoiling anything?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Every time I watch the terror, I feel like I should be in a smoking jacket with a snifter of brandy. It's like this drawing room ghost story. It's
like even at my lowest point, like in my life, I should be dressed as well as those men were.
Oh, no kidding, man. And I have now started to work whipped as a boy into my vocabulary. That was one of the rawest things I've seen in some time. You should watch The Terror, John, is what we're saying.
I wrote it down on a post-it. Really that means it'll happen.
Excellent. So this is the Shotcast. We John has been busy of late.
Yes.
And so we were on a bit of a hiatus, if you're nasty. we were on a bit of a hiatus.
Anybody that listens to this show would have to be just a little bit nasty. So
sure.
That's why we broadcast in both languages. So
the other language being nasty, English and nasty.
Yeah, it's dubbed in nasty. Like a little N pops up in the corner if you watch the video feed of the show. It's simulcast and nasty.
Sure, yeah.
I feel like that's a real Leon Phelps thing to say. Like we broadcast in.
Ooh, that's nasty.
It's funny because I have a reason to watch a lot of the bad Saturday Night Live movies coming soon. And so I have to actually sit down and watch The Ladies Man, which I successfully avoided in the 90s or whatever. And now it's come back to haunt me.
Spoiler alert. You have to watch it.
It's bad.
No. That's hard to imagine.
Are you going to have to watch Hot Rod for that?
Do I have to watch
as an SNL movie?
Hot Rod?
No, not doing Hot Rod. It's going to be Stuart Saves His Family. I think maybe Coneheads. I'd have to look at the list again. Night at the Roxbury. It's kind of intentionally the shitty ones. As well as maybe Superstars in that mix, but
boy.
I
think I value my time on this earth too much to do that to myself.
I petitioned for MacGruber, which is legitimately a great movie.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that did not make the list. But
didn't go over.
Like, I think the shows will be very entertaining, but you're right. It means I have to spend about 5 hours of my life watching and then rewatching The Ladies Man and making notes. You know, like it's a real thing. A thing that should be studied.
This is a real nice life you've carved out for yourself here, Bo.
I don't know what my legacy is, but it's something.
Anthropologists in the future are going to study why you studied all of the SNL movies in such a detailed manner. They're going to find these notes in like a time capsule in the year 4000, and it's going to become a whole Wikipedia 3 article.
It'll be the only thing that survives. Like, there'll be a blackout like in Blade Runner, and then you'll just have like broken audio clips, but the section of Bo's study on the worst SNL movies will survive swimmingly.
I was just going to say a post-apocalyptic society will be built upon the scrapped notes that are found in your time capsule in the year 4000.
Speaking of bad movies, like you just quoted the plot of Galaxina.
Or those Beyond Thunderdome kids, only they're all real obsessed with the Coneheads. Let's go back to the Memba time.
And so the Skrull said, "Do you want to dance?"
Yeah, we come from France.
Consume mass quantity.
Yeah, that movie's all right. It's you know, there are worse worse movies to be had for sure.
It's the only place you used to be able to get the song "Scar Tissue" by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, that's
a soundtrack.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there are some things going for Coneheads.
So. Sure. Video games, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Is what we discuss on this show. Before we get sidetracked yet again, let's
Star Trek.
So let me tell you, I've been watching.
Let me tell you about Star Trek now.
been getting deeper into Deep Space Nine, and I'm up in it. I love it. I think Odo's a real asshole, and I respect that. I like his feistiness. He's just like, I can't be bothered. it really strikes a chord with me on a personal level. Before we begin. It's a real loose operation tonight. We're going to kick it over to Justin and see how you're doing, sir.
I'm doing. I'll tell you that.
What are you, Jerry Reed? Right? Just doing, Bandit.
I'm just doing. I've been watching a lot of shows, like I mentioned. Been playing the Vidya games and just working a whole lot. Other than that, not too much.
You're
doing video games right now, or just
no, just we're just chit chatting. That's all.
It's all spin. Okay. It's been a while since we've done this. So yeah, we're a little rusty. Yeah, it's fine.
Speaking of rusty trombones, John.
Wait, what does that mean? I have no idea what that reference means.
I know that you're a musician.
Yes, I used to actually. So here's a little tidbit for you. Used to play the trombone.
I feel like I knew that.
Like for reals. Like, I played the trombone from fifth grade? No. Might have even been sooner than that until I graduated high school. And then I...
Handing out them rusties that long.
Yeah, then I never touched it again.
And so that trombone got rusty. Hence the nickname.
Dropped it like a heroin addiction.
And that's how the trombone got rusty. I stopped playing with it all the time.
Yeah, I found when I was a kid, my dad played trumpet for a while, I think when he was in high school, and he kept his trumpet, and I tried to play that, but it truly was a rusty trumpet by that point.
I own one of those, bought it at a garage sale, it's in a toy box upstairs. Every once in a while, the trumpet comes out, and we're like, yeah, that's really fucking loud. Put it back in the toy box.
Is it you're just like, your confirmation of sound?
Yeah.
All right.
Not deaf yet. Can still hear the trumpet.
Try to trick the neighbors into thinking that rapture has come.
Something. I don't know. I actually collect lots of musical instruments that I don't actually know how to play, but I just like having them around and fucking with them. Like, I've got a banjo. I've got several guitars. I have a bass guitar. I don't know how to play bass guitar. What else do I have? I have two didgeridoos, which I do know how to play. What else do I have? There's a recorder in this house somewhere. I'm certain of it.
There's a lot of stuff you can put up your butt.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Speaking of rusty trombones.
As always, Justin getting medical with things.
I'm just saying, for a guy who doesn't know how to play all these penis-shaped instruments, he sure does know a lot of them.
I think you just invented a new podcast for the Legion Podcast Network. Things you can put
Well, up your I butt. I invented another one earlier, and it's one where everyone on the podcast just casually forgets they're on the podcast every 5 minutes.
I think that's pretty much the show.
What are you talking about?
Huh? Let me mute my mic for the next 55 seconds.
This thing we're doing here, it's called podcast.
So have you been up to anything besides all your education? I know you have been trying to learn things, which is...
Yeah, homework has been chewing up a lot of my time lately. But let me tell you about my new gaming chair that I bought, Bo.
Oh, what kind of gaming chair did you get?
Ooh.
I'm going to tell you exactly what kind of gaming chair I got so that you will never buy one.
Oh, I thought this was going to be a happy place.
There's kind of a happy resolution to this story, but what I got that I'm sitting my butt in right now here is called a FicMax ergonomic high back large size office desk chair swivel black PC gaming chair with lumbar massage support and retractable footrest. If you search that sentence on Amazon, you will find this exact chair.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it looks like a DX Racer kind of a chair. I got it for $189. It has 3.5 stars on Amazon. A lot of people say, yeah, it's maybe a little stiffer. Most of the complaints were from like fatties who didn't fit in the chair.
Sure, sure. Fatties will sorry, do that.
Because it's kind of like a racing seat. You know, it's got like the little wraparound sides on it, and the part where your butt goes has like little things that kind of hold your legs towards the center of the chair.
Fat ass is not wanted.
No, no. So I ordered this thing, and it showed up, and I put it together, and I sat in it, and I rolled across the carpet that sits in front of my desk, and one of the legs, like, you know, picture a standard office chair with, like, the little five-prong leg thing with the little casters on the bottom of it, like, severed itself in two and, like, split lengthwise up the leg.
So it seems like
immediately upon me sitting down in it. So
speaking of fatties, email.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Yeah. Immediately sent an email to the company saying, hey, the chair I just ordered broke. And I guess the good part of this story, so FicMax is very, very obviously, at least their customer support is very obviously located in China. Because there was a bit of a language barrier communicating through email. But they did a decent job and said, very sorry, we will send you a replacement. And I wrote back and said, a replacement what? And they said, we will send you a replacement chair. And I said, you're sending me a whole chair? And they said, yes. And I said, oh, well, that sounds fucking great. So I'll just go about trying to figure out a way to fix the one that immediately broke and hope that the same thing doesn't happen with the second chair that they're going to send. So they send it to me, and he says he's going to send it to me, and then I get another email like the next day, and from FicMax customer support. Let me read you one of these.
We change our minds.
Dear, comma, thank you for your support. We will send a new one for you. Sincerely, FicMax. And then there's a bunch of Chinese characters with like my name and email written at the bottom of this thing.
Which is wishing you well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I said, FicMax, how long will it take to receive it? Will you send me a tracking number so I know when to expect the replacement chair? Dear, we will send the new one today, but in USA time, they maybe receive my order tomorrow. This cannot handle, comma, as usual, maybe need 5 days, will arrive your place. When we get the track number, we will mail you. Thank you very much. Sincerely, FicMax. So you can figure out what they're trying
right,
to say.
Right, right. And it seems like they're doing the right thing. Like, hey, we don't have a tracking number yet. When we do, we'll send it to you.
Yeah. So communication was slightly difficult, but not that bad.
Hey, I'll take that over none, which is exactly what you normally get.
So let's see. That was April 3rd. I said, FicMax, thank you for your prompt responses. I look forward to receiving the tracking number and replacement chair. 2 days later, tracking number. Everything's
great.
Going A-OK.
Okay.
But he says, dear, about the new replacement, the U.S. warehouse has none, so we have send you a chair, but the chair package has damaged, and the chair maybe has some scratches. You can restall this chair to use the replacement. Hope this can help you to solve your problem. And then there's a tracking number. If there has any problem, please do not hesitate. Email us. I said, it's unacceptable to send me a broken chair. I can't find my email back here. I said, there are many new chairs in stock on Amazon where I bought it. Can you just send me one of those? I said, I will not be satisfied until I get what I paid for, a new undamaged chair. This is my favorite part. Dear, please calm down.
Hey, easy, pal.
Whoa there, Tex.
Hey, we were giving you the option. We're going to send you this chair. We told you, hey, you can just sell this fucking thing if you want.
The chair we sent to you is not broken or damaged chair. It's just the package broken. This maybe caused some scratches inside. You can use the chair to replace your broken 5-star base. Now I know what that thing's called. It's called a 5-star base. I learned something. We just want to resolve your problem soon, so we send you a chair. If you not accept chair, you cannot sign the express. The new 5-star base will arrive at our U.S. warehouse after 1 month. Thank you for understanding. So now I think, am I waiting for a month or whatever? I wrote, I am calm. Telling someone to calm down in a customer service email is insulting, so I suggest that you don't do it anymore. I will wait to post my review of your product until after I have received the replacement you sent. When will the replacement chair arrive? Do you have a tracking number? He sent me the tracking number, and it was interesting because it was a different one than the first time he sent it. So at this point, I wasn't sure if I was getting two chairs or not. 8 days go by. FickMax, this is me writing to them. It has been 8 days since I reported my broken chair, and you said that you would be sending a replacement, which would be arriving in 5 days. When I used the tracking numbers you sent, it appears the chair has been sent back to the warehouse because it was damaged.
Oh, I love this. All right.
So I'm just looking this up on the FedEx website, and it's like it made it to like within 30 miles of my house, and then the next thing on the tracking list says sent back to California because the box was damaged.
So somebody at FedEx thought they were doing the right thing.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Like, hey, we can't deliver this. Oh, this package is fucked up.
Yeah. I wrote, I've been very patient up to this point. I have not yet left a negative review, but I have waited long enough for this situation to be resolved.
I would have signed off all my emails with calmly.
Yes, calmly. Your friend in peace.
And these guys keep bringing the good customer service, so I can't bag on them. Dear, we are so sorry for this issue. Please believe that we want to give you best service. This is our purpose. Also, this is Amazon purpose. We try our best to resolve your problem about this chair. We have consult the FedEx. They will bear this. We surely understand what you're feeling, and we are so sorry for this. I started feeling bad at this point.
Sure, there. Somebody's just like,
I feel like I was too harsh in my last email.
For the love of God, man, we're all just trying to do the right thing here. Don't
now.
Ruin
now,
our
the
reputation.
Quick to resolve your problem is that we will resend a new one for you, since they will work on Monday. So we send you on Monday. Can you accept this? We look forward earlier reply. Thank you very much, FickMax. I just wrote. FickMax, please send me the new tracking number.
Sure. Yeah, you certainly didn't feel that bad.
Yeah, 2 days later, new tracking number arrives. And they sent it, they sent it to me. Yeah, that was 2 days later. And I wrote them back. Let's see. It was 8 days after that. I received a whole new chair, which seems to be in perfect condition. By that time, I had already, I have numerous ongoing projects. I happen to own a lot of zip ties. So I zip tied the leg of the broken chair back together, and it has been working fine since. So now I own two FickMax ergonomic high back large size office desk chair swivel black PC gaming chair with lumbar massage support and retractable footrest chairs.
Well played, sir.
And it's all right. It's not the most comfortable chair. I imagine like a DX Racer or something. Like the padding in it is, you know, not super, doesn't have a lot of give to it. It's like kind of a stiff chair. I would not recommend buying one. I would probably prefer a different chair, but since I got two of them, I'm going to ride it out.
Sure. You got chairs for the rest of your life.
Pretty much. So that's what I've been doing.
All right. Well... Damn, that was worth every second.
No.
Well done, sir.
Thanks.
I probably the most notable thing that I have done since last we spoke is I saw Weird Al in concert again.
Man, that sounds so awesome.
And we did the VIP thing, so I actually like have a picture of me and Weird Al, and I have a signed set list from the night. And
did you touch him?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, it was great, and it was the whole.
It's like,
go ahead,
shake his hand, or
Yeah, it was like, hey, you know, arm his arm around me, I'm my arm around him. Wow. Take a picture. Me and Al. And it was a, I can't remember the exact name of the tour, but it was like the completely superfluous, it was all originals. There were no song parodies. It was all, unplugged and original stuff. Nice. And yeah, it was the nerdiest way you could see Weird Al is like, oh, I don't want to hear the parodies. I want the deep cuts.
I want all those original stuff.
Right.
I want the pure uncut Weird Al.
So yeah, it was me and my buddy Chad and power listener Andy taking a little road trip to see Weird Al, and it was a bit of a resolution of sorts because we had tried this a couple of years ago, Andy and I had, of seeing Al and doing the whole meet and greet thing. But instead, we had just bought really, really good seats. And when we went to the line where it was like, hey, you can, you know, here's where you go meet Al. They were like, oh, that ain't you guys. Aww. So up until that moment, up until that very moment.
Al says no.
Yeah. Power listener Andy had believed he was about to meet his hero, Al Yankovic. And was crushed, like was
yeah. That'll put a damper on the night.
Yeah, it was real disappointing to me, but it was almost more hilarious because of how.
Sorry, Andy.
Yeah, how like just gobsmacked he was by this.
That fucking stinks, man.
And so it was a bit of righting a universal wrong that yeah. we were now able to. Bring this full circle, and he did in fact get to meet Al, and yeah, it was great. It was a great time, and you know, it's fascinating to see his shows because it truly is like a spectrum of people. He's just been doing it long enough, and that there are enough nerds out there still that it, you know, it's everything from kids and. You know, 20 and 30 and 40 and year old people. It's
what was his recent album was Mandatory Fun.
Yeah.
And that was his first number one album ever.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is he always said like people will forget that he's around and then he'll put out a new album and it will do better than the one before. Like every album's done better than the previous one.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's, hey,
and his band is just fucking phenomenal. Like they're super good.
Yeah, I mean the variety of music that they play with such precision is impressive and it seems like they're all having a good time, and that's really the sort of miracle of the whole thing is that
and it's the same band that he's always played with, right?
Mostly I think. I mean, it's certainly the same four guys that you've seen forever and ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and you know, he's just one of those pop culture figures that in a time of trouble and strife, it makes me happy to know that somewhere out there Weird Al is thinking of, you know, ways to rhyme potato different ways and shit, you know. it feels like that is much needed in today's society.
Agreed.
But Weird Al hero worship stories aside, we're here to talk about video games. And to talk about what we've been playing, let's begin with one Justin McFerrin. Sir, what video games have caught your attention lately?
Well, been playing a lot of the PUBG, obviously. They've been doing some little updates here and there, the war modes. I have been playing a bit of Escape from Tarkov. They've also done a couple updates, added a lot more stuff in a new map, which is pretty cool. That game is as hardcore as ever, which is pretty cool. They've kind of messed up some of the stats for things now, so everyone's playing very just willy-nilly. It's not worth it to buy the expensive armor and things like that. So people are kind of crazy right now, which is fun. And then I picked up, well, a friend gifted me Frostpunks.
Ooh.
Or Frostpunk.
I am super curious about that game. That game seems like it might be up my alley.
I played about maybe an hour of it, so I don't have the a very deep impression of it at the moment, but it reminds me, it's very, very dystopian in that you are sort of trapped in this ice crater with dwindling resources, and at different points you are tasked with a moral decision, and you can choose to do this or not do this, but the game kind of pushes you. It's like, hey, maybe you should decree this thing. And it's sort of like a skill tree almost, where you have to decree between two different things, and then you kind of branch off into what those decrees, the further implications of those decrees. Like, one of the first ones is, do you put kids to work?
In the 100%.
Brown. Right. And then, like, the next one, I think, is, like, it's just a branch off of, well, make the kids work more, mm-hmm. you know? And then just basically everything around that, like, we could start making soup and stretch our rations out, you know, another 25%. Or we can start putting sawdust in the food.
So what is the consequence of making the kids work all the time and giving nothing but thin soup to all these people?
You're supposed to feel so bad people, about it, Bo.
Yeah. It's a...
What's the game consequence?
That game just doesn't know you.
People will become, like, dissatisfied, and they won't work as hard and work as much, and then they'll get sick, and then they'll die.
Can you execute someone in front of the others?
No, it doesn't. Well, it's a lot more restrictive. What
kind of a game is this?
Yeah. It's, well,
is it a supervillain simulator or not?
I'm sure at some point down the line, there's some weird decree that probably allows you to start, like, doing public executions or something. But I haven't run across that. I mean, the basic, you know, stay alive. But, yeah, I mean, you can straight up be like, well, just kill the sick people. You know, if you get sick, we don't even bury you. We just burn your body, you know, like you're gone and dead. And it's played out in sort of like a cycle. So you have, it's, you know, real-time strategy, but people only go to work, you know, certain hours, and then they sleep. So there's chances to just speed up the time. And it's, I don't know, it's punishing, but I don't think I've gotten far enough into it to really give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I think I enjoy it, but I think there's parts of it where I wish I could say, I don't ever want to compromise on this decree. So skip over it and take me to, like, the next set of things. Hmm. Like, I want there to be, like, a moral high ground, more of a moral high ground you could stand on in the game. And I only say that because of watching The Terror and those dudes just, like, up until sort of the bitter end, trying to, like, be as civil as possible. I don't know. It feels like this game just pushes you to be like, well, how messed up are you willing to get to stay alive?
All.
Mm-hmm. I'm all in. I'm all in from the first day. Let's do it.
All of the above.
All the messed up.
That sounds cool, though.
But I should say... It's a lot more restrictive than I feel like the game advertises itself. What you see is what you get when you open up the map. I mean, there are chances to send, like, parties out to scout areas, but you're stuck in the one crater that you're in, and that's where you have to build your city. It's not like Realm World where you can pick up, you know, a different part of the city or world and start there. I mean, this is the setting. And you just have to survive this and that, and this is the game. I feel like it at some point, maybe there'll be an expansion that's like, well, once you get to point X, then you move along to this location or that location or something.
And you're just trying to, like, maintain, like, a central power source that's, like, geothermal or something, or...
Yeah, you're harvesting coal and building heaters and trying to keep, like, a core zone of heat. And that you want to keep, like, that's where people live. and where the hospitals are. And then you can, there's some buildings that have their own heaters and you can upgrade them. And it's a weird thing where, like, there are buildings with upgrades, and even though you could set, like, a person on a timer and assign them to, like, go work in a mine, there are, like, building attributes that you have to manually click on the building and then click on a button to start the attribute, and then when it's over, there's, like, a cooldown on it. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of things to try and keep you clicking once I think the city gets a lot bigger. I think you're going to be whipping around making sure all your buildings are always outputting whatever their special little boosts or attributes are.
Yeah. So this game was made by the guys that did This War of Mine.
Which I didn't play that much of that game.
I think we have a video of it on the site.
Yeah, I think that...
from like a really... It's one of the first videos we put on the website.
That may be the case, but yeah. That's a game that I felt like I should have played more of as well.
It was interesting, and it was similar. It had like the kind of the moral choices and the... It was like a post-apocalyptic deal where you were trapped in like a bomb shelter and people would arrive and you'd take them in and you'd say, all right, well... somebody needs to go loot for supplies. And so you would send someone out. And then when they got there, you would take control of them and you would walk through the building and like search things, but you would open a door and there'd be somebody standing there with a gun or something, or like some sort of security detail would arrive or something and you had to evade them. So the people that you sent out could die, and it had like those life and death situations going on in it as well. So that was cool.
There are scouts in this one, but it's more like send person to X location. When they get there, it'll say, I found two people who want to come back to our colony. I can either bring them back, which will net X, X, and X, or I can send them back by themselves and keep going on, which will net, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I kind of like that. It gives you the opportunity to keep your scout just kind of roaming around, sending people back to your base, but you're going to lose some people because that guy's not taking them back.
And so, I mean, I'm assuming there's just like a fail state, like this is like a rogue-like game where shit can just go totally sideways and you're just fucked.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You can run out of coal pretty quick, and then once people start freezing, they get sick. You basically just get to the point where it's untenable.
Yeah. I guess you know you got to work them kids while you can. Then not gonna get any warmer. Not working.
Don't wait. Yeah, that sounds cool. It looks really neat too. Like the style of it it's got a real nice look. So. It's on my wish list.
All right. Anything else from you there, Justin?
No. I killed Shroud in PUBG.
Yeah, I saw that video.
I didn't, but my team did.
Oh, well done.
I would say about the PUBG stuff you were talking about, those events, the Warzone was super fun. That was what was it? Five teams of 10, or how did that work? No, it wasn't that many.
The first one was 8. It was 8-man squads, and that one was great. That war mode was pretty cool. The one that only lasted an hour, like last weekend, I played an hour of it until it died, and it was not as fun.
Yeah, that was
on a different map, if I remember correctly. And
10 five-man squads, is that what the latest one was?
Yeah, the five-mans. No one was talking. I think maybe the servers were the problem because no one was talking. The servers were melting down. But it also was spawning you with some really weird stuff, like everyone spawned with sniper rifles. And it was just like in a small area and just, I don't know, I just felt like they were trying to make it different in a bad way.
They're trying to find like the new lightning in a bottle. That's like the new game mode that is super popular. I kind of thought that they had it with that 8-man squads one, where it was just the regular game, but you were in an 8-man squad. And
I liked that one.
I don't think I've experienced that much communication in that game ever. Like, just game after game, we kept getting in with groups of people that where almost everybody in the squad was talking on mic, which made it really fun.
And by the end of that night, we had
met
enough people who were like, hey, we should just keep playing together, that we were just queuing up and only getting like one or two random people. So it was, it was like, I've literally never talked to that many people since probably playing DayZ.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. And then there was the very first mode that we played too was the one where it was the super tight circle. But you dropped in, it had respawns too. You dropped in when you hit the ground, and like the blue zone was already there. It was like a really small circle, like a final circle size. And it was on like a small town, and everybody would jump out of the plane at the same time. And when you landed, you already had a gun that was loaded, so you could immediately start shooting. And then if you died, the plane flew overhead every 40 seconds and you could respawn. And it just did that until like you got to a kill count, I guess. That was a lot of fun because it was just nonstop action. So it was like a really good way to, like we were talking earlier, that they should make that the tutorial for PUBG. Like here, just repeatedly jump into a fucking war zone and just shoot and learn how all the guns and stuff work. Like that would be great to be able to do that. That was a lot of fun.
I agree.
Well, John, how about yourself, aside from some of that PUBG goodness? What else have you been playing?
I've been playing a little Far Cry 5.
Uh-huh. How is that?
It's Far Cry.
Okay.
I like it. I feel like the biggest drawback in it is that the AI is not great. I think it's kind of spotty. So they added a ton of shit to it. It looks great. Let me just say a few positives about it. It looks great. The shooting's super fun in it. The story is give or take, which is kind of the deal with pretty much every Far Cry. It's fine. I was hoping that they would go a little darker with the story, being that it was set in the United States and it was like a religious cult, and like you can go pretty fucked up with that storyline, and I think get away with some really crazy shit. I don't feel like they pushed it far enough, the beginning of the game is kind of like this on rails cinematic sequence where you kind of have some control over your guy. That set like a really great tone that they just didn't carry through very well through the rest of the game. But just set that aside, the gameplay is really fun. Driving vehicles is cool. You can get in, you know, it's kind of like that Mayhem Simulator thing going on where you can, you know, light a camp on fire and guys go running everywhere and you can throw meat down in the camp and fucking bears and mountain lions will come into the camp and shit. But when you're trying to like sneak in, the AI is just, like, I want to kind of compare it to Wildlands a little bit, where I feel like the AI in that is very good at kind of line of sight detection. Like, if you walk up behind a guy, you can sneak up on him in Wildlands and, you know, kill him from pretty close. But I didn't feel like there was any consistency to it in Far Cry 5, where I would be sneaking in and then the guy would just get alerted and I was moving quietly, crouched, he wasn't looking at me, but then would just be alerted. And I could never quite figure out if I was doing something wrong or if there was just real twitchy on the AI. You have companions in Far Cry 5. There's actually a perk you can unlock where you can have two companions.
Are they chatty?
They can be kind of chatty.
How is that?
Not terrible. I've only really used two of them for any amount of time. One is a woman who's an archer, and she's like super stealthy and will kind of sneak around. And it does cool stuff, Laura. Like if you're crouched, your companions crouch, and they take that as their cue to be stealthy. But like you can, you know, look, point your reticle somewhere and, you know, tell them go here and they'll run over there. And then you can point to a guy and tag that guy and they'll immediately take that guy out. But so the two that I roll with are the woman who's the archer and a mountain lion that is a tame mountain lion. So it's kind of like the super stealth crew. So all the mountain lion ever does is like growl. And that's pretty much it. And then the woman says really fucked up stuff all the time. Like she's kind of a psychotic killer. But that's really the only two that I've rolled with. Like, so as you go through the game, and it's just a huge open world, and you can go wherever you want at any time, you'll find just people who need your help. Like they'll be getting attacked or something. And when you help them out, they'll say, hey man, you ever need me, you know, just let me know. And so you can go into the menu. You can just choose them as a companion from that point on. Skill tree is kind of cool. There's lots of interesting stuff in there. They don't, level lock you out of a lot of stuff. I think almost the entire skill tree is open from pretty early on. You just have to have enough skill points to unlock things, and there are certain skills that are more expensive than others. So you could save up and get things like you carry more rifle and sniper rifle ammo, which is super useful because I like playing with a sniper rifle. There's one of those for melee weapons, and there's one of those for guns where you can carry more pistol and like machine gun ammo or something like that. There's fall quietly, run faster when you're crouched, grappling hook, which is a must get. But it's a big long tree and you can buy all that shit. And the thing I think I liked least about it was it's related to the story. You'll be going throughout like an area in the game, and there's like three main areas that are controlled by the three siblings of the main cult leader guy, and they each kind of have their own storyline in their little area. It's kind of a lot like Wildlands in that way. But there are several points in the very first area in the game where someone will come over the radio and say, hey, the cultists have dispatched their hunters to come and find you. And so you'll be walking around in the game, and all of a sudden you'll hear like a blow dart hit you, and the screen will go black, and you'll wake up in like this surreal dream state that's like a, I forget what it was called in Call of Duty, like the test run that you went through, like the obstacle course where you had to like shoot guys and go around corners, but like everything's on fire, and like the cult leader's like saying weird satanic, well not satanic, like religious shit over the microphones in the thing and like reading scripture. And then when you shoot guys, they don't like die. They like turn into black smoke. And so you're running through this obstacle course and you get to the end of it and you're like, oh, well, that was kind of fucked up. And Far Cry does that kind of weird drug-induced shit, you know. They've done that previously.
Yeah.
But then you're playing in that area a little bit more, and as you build up experience, it shows you, every time you get experience, it shows you this little line, and there's like three tick marks on it, evenly spread out across the experience line. So then when you get to the second tick mark, your radio rings again and says, oh, the hunters got sent out again because you're stirring up too much shit. They're coming to get you. And then you get fucking blow darted again, and you go back to the exact same fucking room, and you do the same sequence again. And it's immediately boring the second time.
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried I've tried to just like run straight through it a couple times, and like, yeah, it just makes no sense.
Well, and it's not particularly fun. Like, it's not like, okay, I'm shooting these guys. I'd much rather be out in the in the open world, just blowing shit up and doing whatever I want. But you're like, it takes the control away from you and sticks you in this room, and you're stuck there.
Hmm.
And yeah, it's an odd choice. Far Cry 4 did the same thing, and I didn't like it. There was a sequence in that one where you get caught, and they put you in a prison, and they take all your guns away, and you have to solve, like, a little puzzle in this prison. You have to, like, sneak. There's these guards that, you're like, in this drug-induced state in that one as well, and there's, like, guards that can teleport around, and they disappear, and you have to crouch and sneak through the place and go find your grappling hook that's spread out in like three places in the prison. And it's extremely frustrating. Like, it's kind of maze-like in there. And so there's no way you're going to get it right on the first time. So you die in that sequence like 10, I died like 10 or 15 times. And it was super frustrating. And I couldn't fucking wait to get past it. And the biggest problem with that one was it was a roadblock to continue playing co-op. And I had been playing co-op with my friend Wade in that one. And there was at the beginning of it, even this one, you have to play until you're through, like, kind of this first tutorial area, and then co-op is available, which I'm fine with. Like, a lot of games do that where they say, all right, play for, like, an hour and learn how to play the game, and then co-op unlocks. But then in Far Cry 4, it did that thing where you're in this prison, and you can't play any more co-op until you figure out how to get out of the prison, which I thought was a terrible idea. I haven't run into that in this game. I've played a little bit of co-op, which is super fun, but they just made some weird choices. They just have, like, taking away your ability to do what you want to do when you want to do it is odd. And it's not just that first area. Like, when you go to the second area, there's the sister of the cult leader, and she, like, dances around, and, like, flowers float up in the air around her and shit. And if you go talk to her, she, like, whisks you away to some weird, surreal scene where she's trying to convince you to join the cult or whatever. And then,
well, there's parts with her, too, though, where you'll just be walking around in her area.
Yeah, and she, like, appears.
Yeah, I was, like, in the middle of a firefight with some people, and then I turned around, and she's just standing there talking to you, and then if you shoot her, she turns into the black smoke.
Yeah. That's
weird. All right.
It's weird. It's weird. It's a Far Cry game, through and through, but...
Well, there's a whole subplot with a psychedelic drug called the Bliss, and this whole area is basically being flooded with it. So you're literally standing in a field of, you know, where this drug is being made. So that's why you're having all these, like, weird hallucinations while you're just walking around. Yeah. Sounds like a great place.
Yeah. I mean, and it's fun. It's a fun game, but I just feel like it could be better.
It's kind of a bummer, but
when it hits the cheap, man, it's like $20, totally worth it. Totally worth it.
$20. It just seems like a disappointment that like a new Far Cry game,
didn't, for like a numbered sequel, it doesn't feel like much of an advancement to me.
Assassin's Creed Origins, you know, even if you're not a fan of the Assassin's Creed games, I would argue that's still a good game.
It's a huge, like, they changed how that game works completely.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they kind of blew it up and kept the stuff that seemed fun and got rid of all the other bullshit. And, you know, and the game I'll talk about later does the same thing. But, it feels like that's the next thing to happen to a Far Cry game, right? Like, they've got to do the same thing with that, where they're like, okay, the formula's getting stale. We're just plunking the same mechanics, although finely tuned, and it all works and all that stuff. But it's the same thing.
Yeah, I really liked Far Cry 4, other than, you know, the negatives that I was just talking about. But I feel like it worked great. I don't think they made anything work better in this game. It's bigger. It looks better. That's about it. I mean, there's not much improvement over the last one to me. I thought the 4 was great. Like, I had a lot of fun with that one. This one's just kind of more of it, I guess. So, save your money till it's on sale would be my recommendation.
All right. Anything else you've been playing that's got you all excited and whatnot?
I've actually come to really like Sea of Thieves quite a bit.
All right, give me the pitch. I haven't really played a bunch, but I'm not against it. Now that I've got it actually downloaded on the PC, I'm kind of excited to jump back in and play a little bit.
We had a super fun co-op session, Bo and I, and you can watch that on sdfgaming.com. It's about an hour and a half of us just having a great time sailing around, finding treasure, killing skeletons. Nice ship-to-ship battle that was an extended fight, which was pretty goddamn epic. We dove on a shipwreck and got killed by sharks and shit. Like,
just sailed out into the nothing.
Yeah. We rode through a thunderstorm, and that was real cool. So the criticism of that game when it came out was, oh, this is it. Like, there's a couple of things you do in that game. As far as missions go, like content wise, you can hunt down treasure chests. And the way you do that is you go to this merchant on one of the outposts, and he gives you a little mission, and you open it up, and it gives you a map, and you have to look at that map and look at the shape of the island on the map. And then you go to your big map on your ship and you figure out what island that is. And then you sail to it, and then there'll be like a red X on your map. And you go to that spot, throw your shovel in the sand, and you dig up a treasure chest. There's usually, like, skeletons there to kill. We had that one island that was fucking covered in snakes, which was a pain in the ass. There are kind of, like, multi-level skeletons, depending on where you go. One of the other missions you can get is just go hunt down, like, a skeleton captain. And so you'll go to that island, and there will be a bunch of skeletons there you need to kill, plus kind of a higher-leveled skeleton, and he might have some higher-level guys around. that, like, the combat, like, it's kind of become more fun to me than it seemed initially. It's real basic. It's just, you have a melee sword, you can have a flintlock pistol, you can have a blunderbuss, and you can have a sniper rifle. You can only carry any two of those at a time. So when you're doing skeleton missions, grab yourself a blunderbuss and a sniper rifle, because they can each only hold 5 rounds before you have to go back to the ship to get more ammunition, or you can sometimes find an ammo crate on the island that you're on. So it can be a bit of a slog to kill a whole bunch of skeletons, but what you should really do is send one of your crew on the island, rouse up all the skeletons, get them to chase you back to wherever you parked your ship, and then have people on the ship fire cannonballs at those fuckers and blow them into eternity. That's super fun. Then the third thing that you can do, and so when you kill one of those guys, you kill that captain, you get like a skull, like an enchanted skull, versus with the other one, you would get treasure chests. So the other thing you can do is you can do these kind of multi, like they're like trade missions, I guess, where you'll get a scroll that says, deliver a golden hen and a black and white hen to this place by the 11th. And so you will have to find cages to catch these chickens. And then you will have to go find an island that has chickens on it, and specifically the two chickens that they're looking for. And then you have to take your cage and you go get the chickens, and then you put them on your ship, and then you can sail to this outpost where you're supposed to deliver them, and you get a reward. Sometimes you catch pigs. Sometimes you catch snakes. But that's it. Those are like the three mission types that exist right now. I think the most fun part of that game is you pick up a bunch of those missions, and that can be like your focus, but what's fun about that game is what happens on the way there. And it's all the other ships floating around. We just kind of randomly came across that guy that we had that big long fight with, and that was just super goddamn fun, because one of us is steering, one of us is trying to flip the sail, and we were just doing the two-man sloop. And I've played some multiplayer with randoms where I got on a galleon and it was 4 guys. And damn, that's super fun. Like, I got in a game with some people who, when I joined their game, they already had like 8 chests on board and like 4 skulls. So I just kind of like did whatever they told me to do. They're like, all right, you man the anchor, drop the anchor. And they just were just ordering me around, and I just did whatever they said and just had a great time because they totally knew what they were doing. When they pulled up on an island, they wouldn't drop anchor. They would roll up on the island and they would hoist their sails. And they would just, like, coast in perfectly. Like, they had completely figured out, like, the timing of it. And they would just kind of ride up on the island and coast in with their sails up. And then when they got there, they would drop their anchor. And then immediately, they would immediately pick it back up and point their boat where they wanted to go when they were leaving. Then they would go take care of their business on the island. And once they got back on the ship, like, if you weren't on the ship when they were ready to fucking go, they would just leave. Because they had gotten it down to, like, the science where they would just drop all the sails. They knew who was on what position. Like, this guy's driving right now. This guy's dropping all the sails. This guy's making sure they're all trimmed the right way. This guy picks up the anchor. And it was just a very efficient crew. And I got into a couple of ship-to-ship fights in that play session. We ended up getting, like, 10 more chests and a couple more skulls while I was playing with them. So I actually leveled up a bunch because I got credit for all the shit that they got even before I got there. But then I also had the experience where I joined a galleon and there were 4 people on the boat. 2 of them were obviously together. But all 3 of them voted to put me in the brig and the boat, and you can't get out. And so your only choice is to just stay there and not allow them to get a new 4th person in their game, or leave and start over and join a different boat. So I elected to ruin their game and just stand in their brig, playing my instrument, the little, the whatever that thing's called, the squeeze box. And they were typing in the in-game chat, like, we're waiting for a friend, like, we want a friend of ours to get in the game. And I just stood there playing the squeeze box, and they were kind of getting pissed off in chat, so they started sinking their own boat with me in the brig down in the hold, and they were trying to drown me. And they couldn't sink the boat too much because their boat would sink, and I knew they had treasure on it. And if your boat sinks while there's treasure on it, your treasure floats up to the surface and anybody can pick it up and you lose it and your boat respawns somewhere nearby, but not where you sunk. So I kind of had them by the balls a little bit because they couldn't let any more water in the hold for fear of losing all their treasure. But I figured out that I could jump like every 30 seconds and breathe in just enough air to not drown. So they couldn't kill me.
Oh, I gotcha. Very clever, sir.
Which was awesome. I think they probably could have, you know, taken on a little more water, but they didn't seem like they wanted to risk it. So, or they just wanted to watch me, you know, flail around in the water until I finally quit. But I did that for like 45 minutes. I wondered why they didn't just like start a new game on their own. Like, go turn in the treasure. You know, maybe they were trying to level up a buddy or something, but... that only happened to me that one time. I joined another game where somebody put me in the brig and I just like quit out and started a new game. But they're, apparently I've read an article recently. They're adding some new, missions to that thing, some new islands. They're adding the ability to just play, a solo match, with, I think you can spawn in with any number and still use a galleon. Because right now, if you're by yourself or you're in a two-person team, you can spawn on the sloop. If you're by yourself, you can only play by yourself if you spawn a sloop. You can't do a galleon by yourself right now, which would be actually pretty tough to run all the sails and shit.
Yeah, couldn't you at first, though? Is that...
No, you could never do a galleon by yourself. Like, it always tried to match you up with people.
Huh,
I think there's a tutorial section where you can do it for a little bit, but then it like yanks you out of that and people just kind of like spawn into your instance. So I've had some surprisingly good experiences. I know when it first started out, it was just all, you know, people griefing you and throwing you in the brig and scuttling your ship and all this kind of shit. And it wasn't super fun, but a lot of that has settled down. I think kind of the initial hate is gone now. People are like, oh, there's nothing in this game for me, how boring, and they've moved on to something else. But the people that are left playing it are super into that game. Like, I've watched a few streams where I found a few streamers where all they do is play Sea of Thieves, and you know, it's like 3-4 nights a week, and they're super into it, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. I just, you know, I obviously hope that they add more mission types to it and stuff, but the base that's there is fucking incredible. Like, the sailing is really cool. The game is absolutely fucking gorgeous. The water physics are just incredible. The ship physics are incredible. Everything about the atmosphere in that game is great. I think they just need more of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to get back into that, though. We'll have to, I don't really have much to do tomorrow. I mean, I may do that very thing.
Hmm. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I mean, just having nothing to do sounds like a blast to me, quite frankly. It's been a fucking ride the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But yeah, anything else, Sean? Aside from
that's it. Yep.
I do think that Sea of Thieves is a real pretty game, and I think it's a game that could get there, and I hope it does.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no doubt they're going to keep working on it for quite a while, so I have a feeling it's going to have a resurgence. Like, I mean, this is kind of the new way. Like, it used to be, here's the game, see ya. And now every game is trying to get like this long tail on it now. So like, that's just kind of the modern video game design. I saw they're still releasing shit for, Rainbow Six Siege. Like some new content just dropped for Destiny 2. I have no interest in playing that, but it's out there, you know, it's kind of the new way. Everything's got this games as a service thing to it, so I feel like Sea of Thieves will have a nice long life if they come up with some cool shit to do in it.
I agree. I it's cool. Let's talk a little God of War. I have been playing the God of the War. The new game, the Corey Balrog game, who has a name that sounds like a villain from the game that he directed. I don't think it's any secret that like the game is really good. It certainly is. Just like we were talking about earlier, it is taking the character of Kratos and the God of War franchise and just kind of blowing it up and reconfiguring it in a way that makes it feel modern and satisfying and occasionally punishing and full of these great big set piece moments that are really satisfying and really fun. And it also, like, the game is certainly about its combat, and it has a much more robust sort of fighting system than the old games did, where you could kind of button mash your way through those games. I mean,
it was all combos and like quick time events in the old ones, which I never really got into it. Like, I played them, but it was kind of one time and I was done. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there.
I feel like I should like God of War more than I did, but it wasn't mine.
I think I had kind of the same reaction to it. It seemed a little adolescent. It was one of my big problems with it, is just that the character of Kratos is just like, you know, I want to fuck and I want to murder, and and that's kind of the whole game, and which is great for the first game. And then by the time God of War 3 comes around, it's like, yeah, these set pieces are great and this looks really good and it is fun to play. But I'm, you know, it's the Far Cry thing. It's just, hey, I'm doing the same thing I've done for two games.
Yeah.
Except you've seen it. Like, you've upped the ante so that now I'm, you know, killing the God of Gods and shit. But it's still kind of the same thing. And, you know, and this one is much more about, like, Kratos has tried to get away from all that. I mean, it's a direct sequel to all that stuff for sure. But it's just, yeah, it's just about him and, you know, the opening of the game is that he and his kid are going to take the ashes of the kid's mother and Kratos' wife to the top of a mountain to scatter ashes. That's the thrust of the game. And then a Norse god shows up and kind of wrecks Kratos for a little bit, and then you straight up wreck him and go about your business. But you're slowly getting pulled into this pantheon of Norse gods and sort of not the politics. It's not quite that sophisticated. It's just like all the inner workings of that as this, I don't know, what was Kratos technically, I guess, a Greek god?
He was a demigod, I think.
Yeah. And as god of war, he was in the Greek pantheon, I think. But
yeah,
at any rate, so yeah, it's just like him trying to chill out in Norse mythology land and not being able to, and also being kind of saddled with this kid who feels that his father has done his level best never to be a father. And you know, it takes a much more emotional approach to the story, of course. All that stuff actually strikes me as being really funny, intentionally so. Like, there are a lot of great moments where just little throwaway lines when you're kind of walking. Like, there's one point in the game where you're having to turn this giant crank that is turning, like, literally a bridge that's about the length of, I don't know, say the Brooklyn Bridge. And you're like, he is single-handedly turning this thing on an axis. And when that scene is done, his kid is like, oh my God, that seems like it would be almost impossible. And Kratos is just, you know, nah. And the kid says, does your back hurt? And Kratos says, no, my back does not hurt. And it's really funny. And there are there are several moments throughout the game where it kind of toys with the fact that Kratos is just this grumpy old motherfucker. And
this sounds, I hate Star Trek, but totally sounds like when Worf meets his kid.
Yeah,
totally. For the first time, and he's having to be like, no, that's not what a Klingon does. you know, and this kid's like, I just want to play and be a kid. And he's like, no.
Well, yeah, and the kid has always been kind of weakly as well, and there's this very stark contrast between the characters, and like, the relationship is good, and it's interesting, and sometimes the kid gets real pissed off at Kratos. You know, he's not just a character that runs along and is irritating. Like, the relationship is a little bit more Joel and Ellie from Last of Us than it is anything else. Like, it's not the same dynamic, but it's that level of like, oh, as they're talking, you really are learning more about each of the characters and so forth. It's just really well written, for one thing. It still gets all the set pieces right. Like, when you're fighting big ass shit, it's still really cool. The fighting system is built around kind of an upgrade. Like, you're spending experience to get different kinds of combos with different kinds of effects. So you can sort of tailor your fighting style a little bit of like, okay, I need this for crowd control. I need this for, you know, the up close melee. You can kind of toggle between using your axe, versus your fists. And it's pretty satisfying to just lay into somebody with your fists, which are just as powerful. Like, it's not like you're doing a giant trade off in terms of the damage you're doing if you just hit someone with a fist. But, you know, it's the game has the mechanic of the returning axe, kind of very much like Thor's hammer. Like, you can throw it at an enemy and then suck it back at you, and they use it in some puzzles and shit like that. But it's really useful. Like, you use your axe all the time, but
it's a lightsaber throw.
It is, but it also has the added benefit of there are some enemies that you can kill almost exclusively with the axe. You can also pin enemies to the ground with your axe, so that if you're doing crowd control, which you do a fucking lot of in that game, one of the things you can do is if there is a character that is down or just is certain enemies, if they're just standing there and you whip your axe at their feet, it'll pin them to the ground for a few seconds. So you can just like, hey, I'm going to forget about you for a second, fuck this dude up, and then I'll come back and take care of you. And it's like, there's a lot of that. The kid also helps in combat. Like, one of your buttons is dedicated to telling your kid to shoot an arrow at the thing that you're targeting. And that's helpful because it'll stun an enemy. Again, kind of crowd control stuff where you can use your kid to either draw aggro from an enemy or just stun them. And all that's upgradable as well. There are sockets on the weapon, so you can include perks there and do additional damage against certain enemy types or get health bonuses or whatever. Like, so here are my big complaints with the game. They throw you into the deep end on all the upgrade and crafting mechanics, and I've played it for probably about a 15-ish hours at this point, and I still have moments where I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is important really yet, but it's kind of a minor quibble. Like, eventually you figure it out and you're like, oh, okay, well, these two dwarves are going to help me upgrade my axe, and everything else kind of stems from that. I can do some upgrading. There is some loot in the game. I wouldn't call it a loot game, but there is certainly a loot component.
Would you compare the combat to Dark Souls at all?
See, I never played a ton of Dark Souls because I never thought those games would appeal to me because of how punishing they are.
Essentially, my question is it kind of a stick and move affair?
Well, like, yes and no. There's also just getting sort of a repertoire of moves that you're using. You know, like, I've got my stable of combos now of like, okay, if I'm surrounded, here is my AOE that just like stuns everybody and throws them back. Here's how I can kind of stun or pin down some enemies. So if there are three or four or five enemies, I can kind of take a couple of them out. I haven't played enough Dark Souls to be able to tell you this, but there's an indicator around Kratos in combat that is kind of Batman-ish in that it will tell you when there is an attack imminent, and it sort of matches your kid yelling at you, saying like, hey, there's someone coming from behind you, or look out from your left or whatever. And you'll see that there's both the audio cue and you'll see it. And then sometimes because I will say that what my understanding of Dark Souls is and what might be in common with God of War is that it's not a button masher. You do have to think about the timing of enemies. You do have to, the game isn't so much like, here's this one giant thing you have to fight. It's like, hey, here's this troll you have to fight. And by the way, here are these three or four other dudes at the same time. And how are you going to, like, you have to prioritize certain enemies and like, oh, here's an enemy type that can call reinforcements. I need to get rid of him first. And then I can worry about the others.
Yeah.
And
so what is like your ability? So you'll come around a corner and there'll be like a group of guys to fight. Like, how far back can you like kite guys to kind of separate the crowd? Do you have some freedom there?
Or? No, I mean, the AI is such that it's like, hey, when these groups attack, they're all attacking. It's not like you can sort of aggro one in a group. Because the game is very much set up in arenas where it's like, oh, I'm going to enter this portion of the game. I'm going to get not totally closed off, I suppose, but enough so that it's like, hey, here's this big expanse. I'm going to fight a bunch of dudes and then I'm going to poke around the environment and do some collecting and upgrade some skills and stuff like that. And then, you know, rinse and repeat as I move my way through the story. And, you know, the gameplay is really solid. Once you start pulling off some good combo shit in that game, it becomes really satisfying. I still have my moments where I've got the video. I haven't cut it yet, but I do want to eventually do just a super cut of the number of times I died in one of the early parts of the game where they throw like three or four, I think it's just three even, different enemy types at you that are all like, okay, all three of these enemy types have their weaknesses. Manage this. And I was just getting fucked up. And then I realized, oh, this is the part of the game that's teaching me about like the rage power. And it kind of doesn't matter if I'm in this situation, hit my rage burst, and I'm just going to destroy one or two of these things immediately. And anyway, but so being a real dummy had me banging my head against the wall for a while. There are certain enemy types that I know it's like I got to do a little bit of a dance with them. You know, there's a little bit more finesse to fighting them than just like, you know, ducking behind them and trying to axe them from behind. That was my move in Assassin's Creed Origins, and it works just fine in that game. God of War, not so much. You gotta kind of pay attention like I said, I'll bang my head against an enemy still, but I think at this point it's like three, maybe four times through. It kind of depends, because I've just gotten so much more comfortable with the style of combat and that kind of thing. There are still enemy types that I run into that are new because there are always variations on stuff throughout the game. Where it's like, oh, I don't know how to handle this quite yet, but it seems to be a variation on this other thing. So maybe this is more of an axe ranged enemy, or this is just, oh, like, hey, this is a flying enemy. So I need my kid to shoot an arrow at it to drop it to the ground. And as soon as it hits the ground, I can pin it and fuck it up. And, you know, stuff like that. The game does a good job, I think, of teaching you that stuff and doling it out because you're spending experience points to get those combos. It's forcing you to think about that stuff and to say like, okay, what am I really shitty at? Oh, it's when I get two or three people around me. Okay. What perk or that I can socket or what can I spend some experience gaining a skill to allow me to control that situation better. And that's kind of the whole gig of the game, is like, how do I create a move set amongst all my weapon socketing and power unlocking that is going to give me all the tools I need to just lay waste. And
is there some variety to that? Like, could I play it and come up with a different solution to that problem than you, or do I eventually unlock all the same perks that you have?
You know, I don't know that you're going to get enough experience to unlock everything. I think there is a little bit of picking and choosing here, but it's also like, hey, are you leaning heavily into shield combat? Okay. You know, are you somebody that's going to basically...
That kind of sounds like Dark Souls a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, why not pull something from one of the most successful franchises in video games?
I've played very little of it, and there's definitely... Like, I played a little bit of Bloodborne as well, and there's definitely, like, you can use one of your hands to haul a shield around, you know, but there's drawbacks to that. But you could also do, you know, dual wield some weapons, but then, you know, you gotta dodge a lot more, so it's got that vibe to it. It looks real cool. I mean, I watched you stream for a little bit, and guys come apart real nice in that game.
Oh, boy, do they. And once you start running into some of the higher-level enemies, like there are these ancient guardian things that are basically just big, like, elemental monsters. And fighting those is really frustrating at times because, the gimmick is you've got to use your axe to kind of hobble them, but then use the parts that come off of them against them. And then you need to get in there and fuck them up melee style. And it's again, you know, the fights are just like, hey, we're going to it's not complicated how you're going to take this enemy down. The execution is going to require a little bit of creativity though. And it's, you know, like I said, at times it can be frustrating, but not so much that, you know, it's those things of like, hey, I gotta stand up and walk away for like 10 minutes because I've gotten just crushed three times in a row. And let me think about what it is I'm doing here. And then the fourth time you go back, you're just like, oh, okay, you know. I need to get rid of this guy first, and then once I do that, everything else is easy. So,
is there a difficulty setting? I'm asking for a friend.
There is. I've been playing on normal difficulty, which is probably dumb. I would probably be having I don't want to say better time. I would be having an easier time with the game for sure at a lower difficulty setting, but. You know, I still every now and again like to get in there and mix it up and try to pretend like I know how to play video games. And like, hey, I'm not going crazy. I'm not playing it on hard or nothing. But yeah, I want to feel like at the end of the day, I can beat this game on its default difficulty, you know.
Yeah.
And so far, yeah, I've all video evidence to the contrary. I need to do another video just so I can prove... that I have improved at that game and am not humiliated in most combat.
But don't even publish it. Just like keep that video for yourself, just so you know.
I have enough shame and self-loathing. I don't need video evidence. But I don't want to undersell either how good the game is about sometimes just giving you a little candy. Like there's one point where you have, you have to wind your way up this kind of bridge thing. And there are dozens of enemies that you have been fighting for some time. And that you've had to, you know, again, that I guess Dark Souls-ish kind of finesse sort of combat, and then all of a sudden there's like 30 of them, and it's like, well, fuck, what am I gonna do now, you know? And the game presents you with a situation where it's like, no, just tear through them. You don't have to worry. They're not gonna hurt you this time around. Like, you have earned this moment where you can just lay fucking waste. And it feels so good when you when the game gives you those little, you know, endorphin rushes. And it's real good about doing it. And like I said, you know, the story itself is really good, and I'm kind of bought into the major characters of this, even Kratos, who is kind of a one-note character, but it's sort of interesting in this game that he's the only one who is that way. You know, like everyone around him is just like, you know, you're kind of an asshole, right? Like, you understand that.
I mean, that's kind of the shtick with him. Like, that's an interesting choice because that's the main criticism of Kratos. So leave him the same, but let everybody else voice what we, the players, have thought about him for years. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, certainly there is that element as well of, like, his character has an arc. You know, he is not going to start from the same place that, or he's not going to end at the same place from which he began as a character. But it doesn't shy away from kind of that accepted view of this character of just being this kind of dumb jerk. And like in the game itself, he has no interest in learning anything at any time. You know, like anytime his kid is like, hey, like Thor is supposed to be a good god. And Kratos is just like, there's no such thing, kid. They're all assholes. Just fuck them all.
I'm going to paint this room with his blood.
Right. Like, you're constantly in situations where your kid is like, we should go help those people. And Kratos is just like, fuck those people. We have a job to do. That is their problem, not mine. And
so is the entire purpose of your quest to take the ashes to the top of the mountain?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is, cool. Yeah, that's it's cool. Just, he has promised his wife he was going to do this, and Kratos is dumb and single-minded enough that it's just like, yeah, me and the boy are going to do this, and up you go, you know, and you get sucked into all the other stuff unwillingly. You know, it just becomes like, you guys are fucking getting in my way of doing the thing I said I was going to do, and now I've got to kill you all. And, you know,
it's John Wick, the Norse god.
It kind of is.
Version.
And there are some really funny moments where you can kind of get behind Kratos as a character just because he does not give a shit about any of the people around him. Even his kid, there is a question mark about. And all he wants to do is this one thing, and if you're just stupid enough to get in his way, he's going to go through you. And it's great. It's a super fun game. I look forward to actually finishing it up. I think the story is terrific. And, you know, there are moments like where you see, I can't remember the name of the thing, but like the world snake and stuff when it first emerges. Oh,
the Nidhogg?
Well, that's not what they call it, but yeah, essentially.
Oh, it's the world serpent.
Yeah.
Which is different from the Nidhogg, yes.
And that's really cool. Like, the first time you meet, there's a witch character, and the first time you meet her, you realize that she lives in a house that's a giant turtle that just turns its head and looks at you. And you're just like, this is fucking awesome. Yeah, it's a great-looking game. It's just full of cool shit,
It's one of those ones where I'm not waiting for it to go on sale. I'm just waiting until I have time to play it. Like, I don't care what it costs. I absolutely want to play that game.
It definitely benefits from those like 2-3 hour sessions where you're like, there's going to be about 30 minutes of that is going to be spent banging your head against one thing or another. But you're also going to get some just incredible, like, you know, panorama moments of like, this game just, it's excellent proof of, hey, if you can do anything in video games, why don't we? You know, let's have a giant ass snake that is as big as the world. Why not?
That's cool.
You know?
Yeah.
And
have this dude kill it.
Right. And then have this, you know, be bearded former deity with an axe, just, you know, with a Thor axe, just wreck everything around him. So yeah, it's really fun. I don't have a lot of other games to talk about other than, you know, playing little bit of the XCOM here and there, but it's mostly, if I've got 2 hours to rub together, I've been playing God of War.
Sounds all right.
Yeah, yeah, it's a big recommend for me so far. And I hear that the story only gets better, so it doesn't seem like a reach to say, yeah, you should probably, if you've got a PlayStation 4, you should probably play God of War.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bona fide hit. I didn't include it in the news, but I saw it's still the number one seller on pretty much every list out there. So
yeah, there are moments, man, where like you can charge up your axe before you throw it, and one of the perks is that when you do that, it can just create a mini explosion. And so my lead-in move in most combat scenarios where there are two or three or four dudes is just to hurl my axe ahead of me, blow them back, and then just start laying into the first motherfucker I can see. And usually I cut like one dude immediately out of combat. So yeah, it's fun. All right. Speaking of news and the fact that the important God of War news isn't in it, let us take a break.
Sorry.
Yeah. Really falling down on the job, John.
You're really not selling the news segment here.
Oh yeah, I'm taking the blame for this one.
You know, I didn't volunteer for this.
Yeah, you absolutely did.
All right, I did.
Anyway, enough fake news and lies. We will be right back after this break and talk all about the news.
Hey, Paul, what I was thinking is that we need to cut a promo.
Yeah, I've been working on some ideas. It's just I don't really know where to go with it exactly. What if I got like a filter where we could just kind of talk normally and we can have kind of a script, but then yes. I can like filter it so that one of us will have one kind of voice and then one will have the other.
I want to put my request. Make me as Freddy Krueger. Can you do that?
Maybe instead of the voices, what if we tried to like write a skit, develop a whole thing, and we have a backstory? But I don't know. That might be kind of too long. So
but like screeching cars and explosions and fireworks and
yeah. But what about?
I like it.
Maybe instead of doing a filter, we could just like reach out to Robert Englund himself and maybe he can just record a promo for us sometime. Do you think? We might have to like raise some money.
We can do a Kickstarter and we could just throw it out to like Robert Englund and just all kinds of actors and I think people will do that.
I think.
Sure. Why not?
Well, you know what? I don't know. Maybe we're overthinking this whole thing. How about if we just tell people where to find us?
I like that.
You can find us at Who Will Survive on iTunes, Stitcher, on the Legion Podcast Network, and on the Raw Live and Unedited Podcasting Network. Also on Facebook and Instagram under the same name.
Oh, wait. Can we do it underwater with piranhas killing me?
That would kind of be brutal.
And if that doesn't work, then you can do the regular promo.
All right. Well, just get in the water and I'll go get some fish.
All right, cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. When video game news happens, there's only one person I want to hear tell it to me, and that's the silky smooth stylings of one John Dolan.
I feel like it's going to be a letdown from here on out after that intro.
Yeah, probably.
It's good to know neither of us have faith in the news segment at all.
It's, it's more of a placeholder than a segment, really.
And it's because of stories like our first story. The NRA had their big jamboree, I guess you call it. I don't know.
Yeah.
They all get together and blame everything else but guns for the fact that people get killed with guns all the time. And here's a shocker. They're blaming video games again for all of the recent violence. Who's this dipshit? Right. David Grossman, a regular NRA speaker and pro-gun activist, who quickly took to blaming popular culture, specifically violent video games, for thousands of gun-related deaths in America each year. And this story here that I'm reading from Game Rant has a link to some evidence that says the opposite of those things. But he says, it's not about guns, Grossman claims. The guns have always been there. It's the sick movies and the sick TV shows, and especially the sick video games around the planet that are creating sick, sick kids.
Well, certainly, if you go back, 100 years, you could find the very same article about books.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Well, and also there have been numerous studies that show no, you know, correlative effect between playing violent video games and violent behavior. I think the detail, the NRA factoid that best sums up their credibility at this point is the fact that they just named Ollie North the new president of the NRA. And I'm old enough to be like, that fucking guy?
What?
Didn't...
The dude that went to jail, right?
For lying to Congress about an arms deal.
Deal, yeah.
I mean, don't they let Ted Nugent talk for them a lot, too?
Yeah.
That guy pooped on himself for like a month straight. Yeah. I mean, how do you redeem yourself at all, ever, in like eternity after that?
That, and the rumor is that he did that so he would not have to go to Vietnam. Is that correct?
Right. Correct. Yeah. That's why he did it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And yet he's preaching guns. Yeah. He's
Yes. This is exactly every time I see him, and if he has any kind of camouflage on, yeah, I immediately am just so off put by this man that he would even dare wear anything that's like army related after having done what he did.
Yeah. So the thing that bugs me about this whole deal, I mean, there's plenty that bugs me about it, but nothing about the sentence that I just read from this guy is true. There's evidence that goes completely against numerous sources of evidence that say that, violent video games don't do what you claim it does. But his statement that says the guns have always been there. No, they haven't. Guns are actually a relatively recent invention.
It's like... the Big Bang happened, and at the center of it was a big gun.
A gun.
That's what we're going to find out one day. That's what science is going to determine.
We're all gun stuff. We all come from guns.
We all come from one giant blunderbuss.
Right. Hey, it's the Big Bang, right?
Oh, you know what? I get it now. I'm going to get an NRA card now. I finally understand.
Godfire and his gun of creation.
So I linked two articles that were about this. I don't want to read the other one.
They seem like a bunch of assholes. I think we can all agree on that.
It's like, I don't know. I dubbed this the "How do you sleep at night" segment of the news, and I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, I don't know of any right-thinking person. Like, you could believe whatever you want about the Second Amendment and your right to own guns or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that you get like super fetishistic about it, that's what, like, if you go to a gun convention, that's the point where I'm like, I think maybe you like guns too much.
Yeah.
To a gun convention, Bo.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think I believe I said it on this show that see, and then I forgot my point. I talked it up so much. Fucking hate when I
hear
it
that. Comes. It goes all the way to the top,
just,
honey.
Just
it's right
listen
here
to me
in
for
my pocket.
Just a second. I forgot what I was going to say.
I will say that I equate sort of the idea of saying, hey, video games cause violence. To me, it's the same as saying, like, vaccines cause autism. That's the level of stupid you're on.
And why don't professional sports ever... book. Yeah, why don't professional sports ever cause violence?
Right.
How come that's not on the list? Men, you know, concussing each other regularly on the field. Fucking hockey. Like, fighting is an accepted part of a hockey game. Like, bashing people in the face until they're bleeding and they have to be pulled apart by the officials. Like, that's not contributing to violence in society, but video games are. Mm. And TV and, like, really?
Blades of Steel's pretty good, though.
That's a pretty good fight mechanic because it was just that big button on the deck there.
You're right.
Smack that fucking thing.
The button was punch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Destroy opponent.
There was a punch button in a hockey game, if that tells you anything.
So, yeah, this just... I mean, it's totally transparent. You know, point the finger anywhere but at yourself is the tactic
at play
here. So, which, of course it is, because why would they point the finger at themselves? That's not the business they're in, you know, so whatever.
I don't think anyone wants to bear the weight of human violence and feel like they're willingly saying we are the cause, you know. That's a hot potato that's just going to get passed around forever until society decides to do something about it on the whole.
Yeah. I think it's heading in that direction, though. Like, it's certainly more than ever in my lifetime, I hear more people who are just like, you know what? Kind of fuck the NRA, right? Yeah. Like, you can still be a gun owner and be responsible.
And they've been this way forever. It was one of my favorite comedians who's no longer with us, Rick Dukeman, had a bit that he used to do where he said, you know, I'm a member of the NRA, and it was around the time that they, after James Brady had been shot and Reagan had been shot, and they came up with the 7-day waiting period. And it was just the simple line was, if you're the kind of person that can't wait 7 days to get a handgun, you're exactly the person that shouldn't have a handgun.
Right, yeah. That makes sense to me, yeah.
It's just the most...
I need it.
But, like, I need this gun now. Oh, wait, right. Why do you need this gun? I can't tell you.
I need to defend myself now.
I need it. Oh, I remember what I was going to say earlier. My argument is always this. If you're afraid that someone's going to come and take your gun from you, use it.
When they come for it?
Old words.
Yeah. Use your gun. Use it.
Yeah, like, I'm for that.
Because if you don't in that situation, why do you need it? Why do you have that gun? If you're not willing to use it, to keep it, why do you have it? And that always breaks those people down, because they're all a bunch of whiny little pussies. They got to have their guns, but they're never tough enough to actually, like, whip the thing out. Like, if somebody's... And who's coming for the fucking thing in the first place? But if they did, just use your fucking gun.
You pull that gun, mister.
Yeah.
You be
prepared. If it's that goddamn important to you, just use it.
Purge advocate.
Uh-huh. You pull that gun, you better be ready to shoot. And if you're ready to shoot, you be ready to kill.
Yep.
In fact, we should have a day, an entire day, where everyone can use their guns.
You're so married to that fucking gun, and you're so afraid somebody's going to come and take it from you, then you should use it to keep it.
I think,
but they won't. They won't. Because they're a bunch of fucking pussies.
I'm actually in favor of a purge, as long as the purge is limited to people who volunteer for this purge.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're just like, I just need to get out and kill for a night. Like,
I just want a gun. I don't want to be in no purge.
Everyone here for the purge, please get in a single file line into the back of these buses.
Yeah,
and we will drive you off a cliff.
Yeah, everybody get into these showers over here.
Wow, efficient. I like it.
Yeah. So, the NRA can go fuck themselves. Put your hands on my goddamn video games.
You can have my video games when you prime for my cold, dead hand.
Uh-huh. But that ain't going to happen, because when you come for my video games, I'm going to use my fucking video games.
That's right. I'll go Grand Theft Auto 5 all over your ass.
I have...
NGA.
I have beaten hookers to death in video games to get $5 back. Don't think I won't do it to you.
I got more practice than you do, man.
Wait, we're not proving their argument, are we? Never mind. I didn't forget what I just said.
Yeah, we're probably just as critical as they are at this point.
I'm just a sick, sick kid, Bo.
Sorry. Yeah, in fairness, it's a whole lot harder to kill someone with a video game than it is a gun, especially the digital editions.
Mm-hmm.
Not to beat a dead horse, but I would argue video games do the opposite. They teach you the consequences of violence more often than not. And if you just sit around and you're in the NRA your entire life and you never play a video game, you're never going to learn the true consequences of what guns do. I mean, you may have a glimpse of it and something horrible may happen, but I feel like you almost... Certain games drive into you that these are bad things and they're tools of violence. And they're not a thing to be, like, I don't know, lauded.
I think the biggest hypocrisy of this guy here in this article is one of the things this dude does. I said his name earlier, but I'll say it again. David Grossman, former U.S. Army Ranger. And the author of numerous books on violent psychology. I'm sure those are well-sourced. He is well known in the discussion of gun violence, having trained police officers to be more willing to use deadly force throughout their careers.
Dang, dude. Like,
what?
Get up
what
off your horse.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Yeah, this guy's something special, so whatever. Fuck this guy.
Y'all want to put Dr. Kevorkian in jail for helping dying people die, and this guy's over here being like, what can I do? How can I get you into killing more people today?
Right. Hey, peacekeepers.
What can we do?
Come here for a second.
If you think like they're all clowns when you're shooting. You hate clowns, right?
Just like picture them all in their picture them all in their underwear and that they're black, you know?
What is the PowerPoint this guy's showing to a room full of cops that's just like, you know?
Yeah. Grandma didn't put a quarter in the parking meter. Should you waste her in this situation? Yes. Yes, you should. Bitch.
No, I shouldn't. You're wrong. Grandma had a 44 Magnum.
Yeah,
you'd be dead if you didn't shoot first.
Yeah. Jesus fucking
Christ. She had warrants.
Only thing that can stop a bad grandma is a good grandma with a gun.
Armed grandmas. Bumper sticker right there.
Yeah. I want the people I least like to see on the road with mandatory guns.
Granny with a gun.
I think that's a Ray Stevens song.
I don't know, but I'm sure. I think you're right.
All right, moving on. No.
All right, we're done with all that garbage. Let's talk about some video game shit that's not stupid. PUBG is bringing back their third map this weekend. Justin, are you aware of this? Do you know about this?
I have heard they gave it a new name. It's no longer the Savage map anymore.
It is called Sanhok. Sanhok.
So y'all just smashed your hands on a keyboard and whatever came out.
It's this name is the name of this map now. I'm sure there's reason behind it, but
I guess Miramar is a place, but I kept thinking when Miramar came out, I was like, well, that's where they go in Top Gun.
Yeah.
That's where they send Old Goose and Maverick. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping there'd be some references in that map to that, but there aren't.
Yeah. Kind of a missed opportunity.
But this is basically the Fortnite map. It is the smallest.
It's totally
of
the
maps.
Answer to it's the answer to Fortnite. It's their attempt at doing more action, people dropping closer together, getting into the action faster. This is the second time they've tested it out. It'll be going all this weekend.
I'll be very interested to see when this map hits live with map select, what the percentage breakdown of people who are like, I only play this map.
Yeah, that was interesting because they put map select out on the test server, and we farted around with that quite a bit. And there was a ton of cool shit on the test server with all the new scopes they added, that new muscle car that they put on Miramar.
Now.
Is it? Yeah, that shit was good, man. The 6x scope that you can zoom from 3x to 6x, like a nice smooth zoom. That was a real good scope. I like that thing a lot. But this is... they're just trying it out again this weekend, so we should get in for some of that shit. The other news story...
Yeah, it's not like Thanos is going to show up or anything.
Man, that almost got me to download Fortnite. That ought to tell you something sad.
That game's getting ridiculous with the tie-in.
Somebody had sent out a tweet of, like, Thanos doing some, you know, character animation dance. And I was like, that looks really dumb in a way I can get behind.
So
I can tell you right now, we're 2 degrees away from, like, Fortnite presents Taco Bell's, you know, Shroud's, you know, Fortnite experience. Like, it's probably already in a PowerPoint presentation that's been presented to some marketing people. This game, like, it's a huge game, but it's like, I feel like it's going to become the example of everything that's horrible with big games.
Yeah, but not before they wring every single fucking penny out of it that they can.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what's going to kill it, is like, everything's going to be a cosmetic thing, and it's going to be branded this and branded that, and everything's going to tie in, and it's going to be poop.
Yep. The other PUBG story was they tried to do an event last weekend that was a 50-player deathmatch pitting 10 five-person teams against each other, but it completely broke all of their servers, and they had to pull it down. It wasn't even up for 24 hours before they yanked it, so they're still figuring that shit out.
I think my soundboards broke it.
Justin has one of the best soundboards I've ever... Well, two of the best soundboards I've ever heard. You've got the Solid Snake one, which I appreciate quite a bit, but my favorite will always be Diamond Dave.
Like, that is stuff. Pretty good.
Isolated vocal screams from Van Halen songs.
It's amazing.
Like, it never gets old. You think it would get old, but you're like be playing and Justin will like jump out a window and you hear, yeah! Fucking so good.
Well, it always works.
I love it. Well, and that was actually when we were playing that 8-player mode. You started doing the Solid Snake one, and those guys were like super into it, and they were like talking to you like you were Snake. And oh, then you started doing Diamond Dave for him, and they just loved it. It was great. I do remember a couple of games though where you'd start in with the soundboard, and like somebody on our team over the mic would just go, "Ugh."
I love
and
it.
It's fucking great. It's just super fun. I guess we'll do your story that you sent in, Justin. Here, the emotes on Twitch mocking Dr. Disrespect, who is a well-known PUBG streamer on Twitch. If nobody's watched him, his shtick is that he's got a big mullet and glasses and a nice mustache, and he's playing a character on Twitch. He's very popular. He's extremely good at PUBG, so there's a reason this dude is as popular as he is, and it's not, for me, it's not the shtick that he's pulling. It's the fact that he's just a murder machine in that game. But this, apparently... he had some problems not too long ago where he stepped out on his wife and got caught and quit streaming for a while and then came back. And since he came back, people created a bunch of emotes kind of making fun of him for his indiscretions. And then just very recently, all of these little icons and emotes and shit have disappeared from Twitch, and then Dr. Disrespect like talks some shit about some other streamers or something, and this whole story for me is stupid.
it made me realize, and I'm gonna be real honest here, guys, that I'm just way too deep into like YouTube and Twitch streaming,
and
that I read through this whole thing, and I knew exactly what they were talking about.
Yep.
And like Twitch chat in general is already the most, like, next to YouTube comments, the most toxic thing that's ever existed. You can barely even read you can't read the chat on any of these big streamers because it's just scrolling by so fast. And it was just that people were spamming these emotes and, you know, it's just making fun of him for having cheated on his wife. Like, you know, the whatever shorthand for it has a CD in it, and the letter CD, and it was like he thought it was all, they were all making fun of him. It just, and then I guess he got so mad about it. Yeah. And it just, to me, it's so funny because if you know his character, if you've ever like watched him play or like his Twitter account too, it is just like alpha male.
Yeah.
Like nothing gets me. And the fact that it's like, he whined about this enough to get all these emotes removed.
Yeah.
To me, it's hilarious to be like, they're making fun of me.
Well, it's cool. So it's stupid because it's Twitch drama. So it's literally meaningless.
Yeah.
But the thing that gets me about it is, so all these streamers that are really popular, like they kind of go back and forth. Like there's like, it's like professional wrestling. There's like allegiances, and then the allegiances get broken, and like he was calling out Shroud, who's another very popular guy who he plays with all the time. Like, why are you letting people use these things in your chat? And it, like, I was reading through this article, and I just couldn't help but think that these guys have got it made. Like, they've got a great gig. and they're like going down this real petty, stupid, worthless bullshit road with it. Like, I just don't get taking it to that level. Like, is it so competitive as a streamer that what I think it is just ego, honestly, but I don't know.
I think they all got it so easy and they've all gotten so bored with what life is for them now that they've got sort of this schedule of streaming and most of these people have a good X number of dollars coming in the month that they got nothing better to do than to start rap with each other. And maybe for all we know, they love it, you know, and it's just feeding in and fueling more for more, you know, subs to come in and then make more.
I mean, I have suspicions that behind the scenes it's all orchestrated, honestly. And it's just drama. Like, it's reality TV is what it's turning into, and that makes it extremely boring for me. Like, what I like about Dr. Disrespect is that he just fucking murders people in this game, and it's fun to watch someone be that good at a video game. And, like, you would hope that would just be enough for the guy. I mean, he's probably pulling in more money than fucking God playing the same game over and over. And, like, I honestly don't think this character that he does has anything to do. Like, it certainly helps his popularity, but the core of it is the fact that he's really good at this game.
Yeah.
And if he didn't have that, none of this would be popular at all. So
I think the character got him to where he's at, but he could drop it in a heartbeat and keep playing and people would be fine.
People would watch because he just fucking kills in this game. Yeah. So anyway, it's just a bunch of stupid ass Twitch drama bullshit. And yet
then you kill one of these streamers, aka Mr. Shroud, and then he whines about it.
That was pretty funny.
Like a whole minute.
Like, well, these guys are fucking stupid, like bunch of noobs that just killed me.
he watched our kill, which was awesome, which is like he got killed by a grenade, and then he was like, I just want you to know you're not cool, and that wasn't cool. Like, I know you think it's cool. I know you're about to save it in your shadow play highlights, but it's not cool.
He got completely flanked. Like, you guys just totally outplayed him, and then all he did was whine and bitch about it. Yeah.
And then that's also, like, sort of through this drama thing, it's made me realize that I think any opportunity I have to kill any of those people in games, I would absolutely take it because it's worth it to, like, if it sets them back 5 minutes on, like, their game or their stream, to me, it's just free money.
A stream sniper was born.
And it wasn't even that. We weren't even, like, watching his stream.
No, I mean now. Like, now you're talking like a stream sniper.
Oh yeah. No.
I'll go find Doc.
I'll probably watch him. I'll probably follow him on Twitch just to know when he's streaming now. Or Twitter to know when he's streaming.
I was actually most struck by the fact that John described his discretion as stepping out on his wife.
His wife.
As if we're in like a 1940s newspaper drama.
I'm trying to keep it clean. You know how I roll on the Shotcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Always considerate.
Yeah. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze was released on the Switch, and it's insanely popular.
Who'd have thunk it?
Because Donkey Kong Country was one of the greatest games ever.
Really?
Oh, I mean,
it's good, but it came out in 2014 for the Wii U. So my problem with it is they're charging $60 for it. I think that's way too much. But apparently a whole bunch of other people don't.
So they're just re-releasing a game that came out for Wii U, but on the Switch?
Yes.
Nintendo makes some very weird decisions.
They certainly do.
But also, like,
they do.
Also, how much money did this thing make already? You know,
I don't know if it's in this article, but it's the number two seller behind God of War in the UK right now. So
right,
that's a lot.
I don't have to scratch my head too much about like, oh, how about we start at 60 and see how it does?
Yeah,
it did how well?
Okay, we're leaving it at 60.
$60 it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a side-scroller, Donkey Kong, platformer thingamajig. Like, eh.
If it's anything like the SNES Donkey Kong Country, that's why people are buying it.
Yeah. It's just an upgraded version of that. It's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 4 years old. It's not that old of a game, but it is what it is.
Yeah. That's just a weird decision to re-release it like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I read an article
where they confirmed for sure. Is this the... You didn't put it in here about the virtual console, right?
No, I did not.
It is for sure not coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
What's for sure not coming to the Switch?
Virtual console is 100% not coming.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But what they're going to do is release games that would have been on that piecemeal.
Yeah. Oh, they'll get
one
theirs.
At a time. Yeah. So
weird, guys. It's weird.
Yeah. Their online stuff is just stupid.
Speaking of online stuff that's stupid,
segue
brings us to our next story. Finally, after having this thing out for over a year, the Nintendo Switch will finally have its paid online service will be released. $20 for 12 months, which is not really much to cry about. The thing people are having a problem with is one of the things the Switch does not have is backup cloud saves for your game saves. And if you want it, it's going to be behind this subscription paywall. So you cannot have cloud saves on your Switch unless you pay $20 a month for their online service.
Is there a disadvantage to not having cloud saves? Does it keep me from doing something?
If you lost your Switch, or if your Switch got broken or stolen, and you had, say, a game of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild that you had put like 80 hours into, that shit is gone.
Okay. So any of us who grew up playing video games before cloud saves existed
can
just know the importance of making sure you don't break it. Does it have a memory slot that you take out, or a card or something that I could physically back up?
I don't think you can duplicate that. Maybe you could put it in a PC and copy it. That might
work. Sure.
Yeah, you might be able
to
even encrypt
a way
it.
To do it.
Yeah.
Hey, they got to make a little money some way.
I'm not faulting them. It's one of those weird Nintendo decisions. Like, I'm sure they could have made that part of it not behind the paywall, but they chose not to do that. Like, that just seems like something that shouldn't be behind a paywall. That seems like basic functionality of a modern console.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So with your 20, so there is some good news to this. So you can get a family plan that's $35, and they're allowing you to have up to 8 accounts on multiple systems be a part of your family. So you and 7 friends could get together and pay $35 and bring that cost like way down, and all of you get all these benefits. So that's, you know, a pretty good value, I guess. And then one of the things they are doing at launch is they're giving away like 20 free old Nintendo games. Nintendo Soccer, Tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, which is a fucking great game.
Such a good game.
Legend of Zelda and Super Mario Brothers 3 are amongst the first new ones. They still don't have voice chat. You got to use their stupid fucking app on your phone to voice chat.
It's head scratching.
At that point, and that this article even says it, like in parentheses, they just have, or you could just use Skype or Discord for free.
Or you can just do anything else.
Yeah. So there's
just the Switch Nintendo. Have the ability to plug a microphone into it? Is it have USB ports?
Yeah. And it's got like an audio jack for that stuff as well. And yeah, I mean, you could. And like the other thing that is a head scratcher, no Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you not let me use Bluetooth headphones for this system?
Yeah, at least a module for the audio would be a smart move, I think.
They couldn't fit it inside, man. That machine is packed full of magic.
That's true. It is.
They didn't have room. They didn't have room. But being Nintendo, and with their history of crazy peripherals that clamp onto the side of things, You think there'd be like a Bluetooth dongle you could stick on the side of your Switch that would be like ergonomically shaped to wrap around the back and like put some sort of a magnifier lens over the front of a thing or something. I don't know.
No, I bet you'd like that.
It's not a Game Boy, dude.
It's not a Game Boy.
It's I'll tell you what, I've got it hooked up to my computer monitor here. I ain't playing at the moment or nothing, but I really like it.
As far as we know.
As far as you know. But I like it because I got the, you know, the two monitor set up, so I can kick back and play a little, you know, lately it's been mostly Bayonetta 2, as we've been playing through that.
Oh, that's the game I was trying to think of. I was like, what the fuck is, I was going through the Nintendo store, which is a weird thing as well. The way they organize that is frustrating. It's like, here are the top games right now, and it's a page of like 10. And then you can't see anymore past that 10. And it's like, oh, well, here are the coming soon games. And there's like 20. And then here's 653 games.
Yeah, God forbid.
Go look through it.
God forbid you should need to search for something on
Jesus
that
Jesus Christ. Like, I was trying to find, I was curious if they had like a sale on, or I couldn't remember if Skyrim was out or not on the Switch. And I was just like, oh, well, I'll just type in Skyrim. And it didn't show up when I searched it. And I'm like, all right, well, The Elder Scrolls, maybe I'll search that. And it took me like 10 minutes to realize that I had inadvertently set a filter for like genre on the side. And the genre that I had set it for apparently is not Skyrim, so it would not show up.
Right, you're a platformer.
It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, can I just find, like, I typed in the word Skyrim, just show it to me, you know?
It's only showing you all the Barbie games.
Yeah, God. I was trying to remember Bayonetta. I'm writing it down now, so it happens. All right, that's written down. We can move on.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. It's like Nintendo, the Switch is an amazing device. And I love it. I love using it. I think Nintendo just is Nintendo about some shit when it comes to
their
UI.
They're just their own worst
enemy,
like at every turn.
You can pretty reliably hack it already too, right? Like they've pretty much said you can hack it and they're not going to be able to stop us from hacking it.
I didn't include that story. That actually happened in the last few weeks. There's two hacker groups that have, one of them said, hey, we figured out a way to basically jailbreak the Switch and you will be able to do anything on it. And it's a hardware hack that Nintendo can't patch out. The only way they can address it is in future versions. Older like it's an assembly line fix that they would have to put out. So when that group announced that they'd figured out this hack, another group also said, yeah, we found the same thing a few months ago. And apparently both of these groups, when they discovered it, told Nintendo, what is it? The hack is the, on the chip, the CPU, like the, what's it called? Like the Tegra.
NVIDIA.
And it's a hole that they found in that thing that they're using to do this. And these two hacker groups called NVIDIA and gave them a heads up and said, hey, we found this hole, to let them know that, you know, cause it's a security flaw in the device. And that chip is used in tons of other devices. It's not just in the Switch. So they like did the right thing and said, hey, NVIDIA, there's a problem with your thing and we figured it out. You can't fix all these ones that are already out. So we're going to take advantage of that. But they did like a nice thing, but apparently there's a third hacker group, that is already like saying, yeah, we're going to just like start manufacturing like, hacks where you can like solder something into your Switch and like permanently do this, and they're just like, yeah, fuck you, NVIDIA. So cat's out of the bag on that one.
I mean, when it gets to the point where all I gotta do is pay an extra $100 on Etsy and I can get one of those already pre-jailbroken.
Yeah
Well, there's already, okay, so here's the deal. I want a Nintendo Switch really bad, and there's a shop on Etsy that cases them into clear cases of different color shades. And I really, if I was going to get one, I'm just going to like say screw it and get one of those so it's cool. And so I'm so patiently waiting for just a little bit more positive news about the Nintendo Switch. And if it's going to be a thing where like I can hack this version, but probably not the next version, I probably just go ahead and buy one. Because if I can slap every game ever on it and then just put it in my backpack and play it, you know, whenever I want, I'm down.
Apparently, these hacks that these guys have come up with are, like, straight up, you could loan MAME on this thing, or you could loan, like, Dolphin Emulator, or you could put Linux on your fucking Switch if you wanted to.
That's what it sounds like, is it basically just turns it into a tablet PC, which is pretty cool.
It's very cool. It's a real powerful little device, man.
I guess you don't have Bluetooth, but whatever.
Right. Well, you can get a Bluetooth adapter that...
There you go,
All right, Nintendo, we love you, but you know,
y'all be weird.
Sometimes you're just so fucking Nintendo, it hurts.
Yeah. Article here about Red Dead Redemption, which is they're saying it's coming out in October. They've been quoted as saying there are no more delays for this game. But this article is pretty interesting. It's on GameRant.com, titled Red Dead Redemption 2 Required 8 Years and a Massive Team to Develop. The most interesting part about this article to me was that Rockstar has said every single one of their studios is working on this game together, and they're going to release it under the banner of just Rockstar Games. It's not going to be like Rockstar North or Rockstar San Diego or something like that. The article says they've actually been working on it in some form since the last one was released, which was 10 years ago. But in the last 8 years, apparently all of their resources have been going towards this game that were not like making content for GTA 5.
I can't wait to play this game.
God, and I'm going to have to fucking buy it twice. Mm-hmm. So they still haven't announced it for PC, but you know, they're going
to. They'd be fools not to.
Yeah.
But I'm not waiting. Good.
No, I can't. I want to play this game so bad.
But I'm cool with the fact that it's like, oh, I'm going to pay $120 for
Red Dead.
Red Dead 2. Yeah. And that's fine because...
And once it's going to be really fun to play it for the first time, and the second time I spend $60 on it, it's going to be really fun to play it, and it's going to look so much better.
Right. It's
coming, man. It's close.
I know. And what did they say what the release date is? I know they said it's October.
It's like October 24th or something like that.
Yeah. I think it may just be like, hey, I'm taking that week off.
Yeah.
The lead up to Halloween is just going to be me playing Red Dead and.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let me know if you're serious about pulling that trigger, because I might be down. I'm telling you, where are you going on vacation? Nowhere. Wild West.
Right.
Is where
I'm going to the Old West with my posse. See you on the other side. Maybe so, man, because I, you know, that.
Sounds all right.
Because my birthday is around then, and.
We should get a really cheap flight to Vegas, but just bring our PlayStations along.
Or I'll tell you what, like, as good an idea as that is, practically speaking, the most comfortable, enjoyable place to play this will be our own homes.
That's true.
You know?
All right, I'm coming to your house.
Fantastic. Yeah, we got plenty of room. It'll be great.
At Shea Bow.
I'll tell you what, we could actually play the same game in two different rooms. I'll play on the PS4, you can have the PC.
Nice.
Alright, done and done. Red Dead-a-thon will happen, so look for tickets.
check your mailbox for your invitations.
Shotcast-a-thon 2018.
Something like that.
/dope.
Shotcon.
Shotcon.
Yeah.
Sounds like Shere Khan.
Yeah. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, because I'll sit here and just think about playing Red Dead the rest of the night if you let me.
The Federal Trade Commission has sent out a bunch of letters to 6 U.S. companies who are... Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, Asus, HTC, and Hyundai.
Were they friendly letters?
Demanding that they stop the practice of putting stickers on their devices that are saying, if you break this sticker by opening this case, you void your warranty. that's been going on for a long time in the United States, and it seems like the old FTC is really late to this one.
Yeah, isn't like the EU has been on that for some time?
Warranties and that kind of shit in the United States is really fucked up and lame, apparently, compared to the rest of the world, because I can't remember where I read this, but it was something recently where somebody was talking about, like, France and the UK. Like, when you buy a device or something like that, like, there's, like, a 5-year warranty on that shit.
Period. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, and in the United States, you get 90 fucking days.
Yeah, yeah, cross
and
your
if you
fingers.
If you happen to break the center of this sticker for some reason and you bring it in to have it fixed, they'll say no. So
in America, you get whatever you can convince the person who's complaining about the thing that, like, whatever you can convince them that they're not going to get. Like, when I worked in customer service, I mean, you'd just be like, nah, it's your fault.
Yep.
You know?
Right.
There's no way you can prove it wasn't your fault.
Insurance companies saying, like, oh, no, we don't cover that, you know? And my understanding is the reason that they got rid of in the EU, and I'm doing this from memory, so I could be talking out my ass a little bit, but it was the notion that if you took your device in to have it repaired yourself, that should not void the warranty on the product as a whole.
Yeah.
And this is like a right to repair thing.
Yeah. Yep. And
yeah, which is gaining a lot of traction in the United States, especially with iPhones, I think is kind of what set it off. So, but yeah, I mean, you should be able to crack the thing open and fix it. And if you fucking break it, you got to pay somebody to fix it at that point. But yeah, if you want to try it yourself, it certainly shouldn't void the fucking warranty. Like, they'll be able to tell if it's broken because you were fucking with it. Like, you don't need a sticker to tell you that.
And there's another thing in the news recently about how Apple didn't update that would brick third-party replacement pieces.
Yeah,
like if you had a third-party display, yeah, and they basically just say this wasn't a genuine part, and so we're just turning it off. And that was they recently took that out because people were taking them to task about this.
Well, I mean, could you imagine if like the auto industry did that? Like, if you couldn't go to AutoZone and get the cheap brake pads, or you know. Like a new, like, oh, well, my carburetor's fucked up on my 30-year-old car. Go get a new one, and then it just quits working because you've got an aftermarket part on your car. Yeah, that's bullshit. So, good luck to the old FTC on that one, I guess.
Bunch of jerks.
Jerks.
Oculus Go, the standalone VR headset that is, I guess it's kind of like a Gear VR. It's just a self-contained screen and a headset. There's no wires coming out of it. There's no computer. Sells for $200.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-sold out hours after going on sale on Amazon. If you go to try to buy one now, it says currently unavailable. Very popular.
I will say you can watch Plex on it. And that's about all cool. You need it for. It's about worth the $200 there.
I'm curious what the new resolution looks like.
Fast switch LCD panel. Yep. WQHD resolution. This dramatically improves visual clarity and reduces screen door effect while offering a wide field of view with reduced glare and 3 degrees of freedom head tracking. It also shares the same mobile apps as store as the Gear VR, with over 1,000 apps currently available.
Yeah. So, I mean, nowhere near as powerful, obviously, as a Rift. But it's
a nice price point to get into some VR, I guess.
And like Justin was saying, man, for $200, being able to strap that thing on my head and watch big screen Jaws? Maybe.
And really, like, I think it does, you know, not only Plex, like, I mean, I think you can get probably a Netflix or a Hulu in there, too. So, I mean, to me, this is like, yo, I'm in a dorm room, I don't play a lot of games, but I want to watch TV and I want some privacy or something. Like, you get something like this where you can just zone out in your zone and not worry about anything. I think this is cool. I think this is way cooler than, like, getting a little TV for your room. This is just like,
oh, yeah.
if I could pump a PlayStation into this thing, like if it just had an HDMI in on it and had some way to just slap that in front of my face, I would be, this would be like beyond the price of admission.
Ooh, I wonder if you could like mirror, find some app that would mirror your desktop, maybe?
There's, I think it has the Big Screen, which is a VR app that'll let you share, like you could watch, you could, someone could be watching or playing like Rocket League and they could stream it to you in the VR. And I think you can even take over and play maybe.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm,
oh, and
I
you
kinda
can mirror
see
your desktop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
So that's I'd like to see it. Like, I'd like to see what that resolution difference is. And
well, maybe you should wait, Bo.
Okay.
Because while they're releasing this new one, they have a new prototype out that's called the Half Dome headset. Looks very similar to the existing Rift, but offers 140-degree field of view, up from 100 on the current model. And displays that move towards or away from your eyes automatically to help you focus on objects.
I foresee a very weird future of VR headsets, a very awkward and weird future for the next couple years where people are trying anything possible to make it better. Like, like who in a million years, I probably wouldn't be like, yeah, just make the screens move closer to your face.
Let me focus
in real time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the ultimate application for this for me is a headset that I put on, and then I climb into one of those little, I forget what it was called, the trackpad that you run on, and play some PUBG. And you're surrounded by the game, and you have a thing where you're running on a little treadmill, and that's all you need to play video games. That would be so fucking tight. That's all I want.
Yeah, You're both right. Like the weirdness of what is to come in this space has me very excited.
I'm glad that it's moving forward. There was kind of a long pause after the initial Rift and Oculus. So
it has been a weird battle back and forth between the HTC and Oculus. And I think HTC has fallen behind, unless they come out in the next week or two and announce something. I think they're falling behind in the market of expanding it to make it where everybody can do VR. You know, like this Oculus Go certainly works for some games, but I mean, like we said, you can see this being for much more of a layperson than someone who's really excited about VR.
Right. Put this on and it'll work. Yeah.
Yep, there'll be a pile of them at the store, and the parents will go there at Christmas time and go, oh, well, $200, let's just grab one of these for the kids.
Done, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
We good on... Oh, I was going to ask you, what was the re-release of the Vive that they just put out? Wasn't there some upgrade that they put out that's like $800 or something?
In it,
$800 headset. It's got I wanted to say it was 20 or 30% more pixel density or bigger resolution. It has built-in audio.
I like
an
pixels.
Improved head strap. It just
still
seemed,
wired though.
Yes, still wired, and no new handsets, which is the thing that I'm holding out for before I spend any more money on VR. I'm fine with what I got until I can do things with my hands, like actually like move my fingers, and it moves my fingers in a game. I don't think it's worth getting another set of handsets. Like
you want to be able to finger stuff.
I just want the fidelity. To finger things.
Sometimes you just want to have
finger
stuff.
Fidelity.
Just get the zone in the zone, man. Finger it up.
Get your zone in your zone while you're in the zone. VR. Make it happen. It's taking way too long. Let's go, fuckers. Steam Spy died but apparently it's not completely dead. For anybody that doesn't know what Steam Spy is, it was this really cool website that hooked into the API in Steam, and it was able to pull out all kinds of sales data and information off of Steam. Valve recently turned all that shit off by default. And so this website completely broke, but they're kind of back now saying we can still report on some stuff, but it's not as cool as it used to be, and it's not very accurate. This is kind of a bummer because this is kind of a fun way to go see sales numbers and all that cool shit.
Data is beautiful, and to me, it seems like there's no reason for Steam not to just let this guy have the same access he used to have. I understand you want to break it down and make it more restrictive for maybe other purposes, but, you know, just Sergey. Sergey's a cool guy. He hasn't, you know, used this information maliciously in the years this site has been up, so, you know, what's the harm in letting this guy have a little special access?
Yeah, so the guy from Steam Spy... So originally, when Steam pulled the plug on all this data streaming out, people were saying that it was because of the General Data Protection Regulation, which is a European law passed in 2016 that becomes enforceable in May of this year. So apparently a lot of games and game companies are struggling to kind of meet the rules of this regulation, so much so that what's the name of that game? Uber Entertainment did a game a few years ago called Monday Night Combat, and they announced recently that they're just turning that game off rather than spend the money that it would take to become compliant with this regulation. It's not much of a loss for that game because apparently it only had like 20 concurrent players. Like, it's been out for years and it's just not popular anymore. But it was at its, you know, heyday, it was a fairly popular game. But instead of updating it so that it can still have some sort of life, they're just saying, yeah, fuck it, this game's dead now, because why spend money making it compatible with this thing? So, but this article here, what am I on here? Polygon. Steam Spy isn't dead, but it isn't as accurate as it was, creator says. There's a paragraph in here. I just lost it. He's talking about how he doesn't think... on April 11th, Valve announced changes that pull the user's own games from the information shared to the Steam API unless that owner actively opted in. This was vital information to Steam Spy, which launched in 2015. Wow, how do you say this guy's last name? Galyonkin? He's the guy who runs Steam Spy. Says he does not think the recent changes to Steam's user information policy came because of the General Data Protection Regulation. He says Valve still exposes your real name, achievements, groups, screenshots, and friends by default, and it still hasn't updated their end-user license agreement to comply with the GDPR, he wrote. It doesn't mean they won't, but the API change was definitely not caused by that. So maybe they're ramping up to being compliant with the data protection regulation or something, but yeah. That was some fun data to look at. It's kind of a bummer that it's going away.
Sounds like some PCI compliance BS.
Something.
Yeah, some real garbage right there. Yeah, but I also, like, I get it. I wish that Steam would kind of pick up the mantle and say,
yeah, I wish they would put that information out on their own, you know?
Right. Like, people are clearly interested in this, so why not?
Give this guy a job at Steam. So then, seriously, just be like, this is what you do.
Yeah. And they're famous for, you know, plucking people up like that and putting them to work. So they just bought fucking Campo Santo. Did you see that?
Yeah. But also, how like crazy
those,
is...
Those guys are moved. They went, like, they all moved to Seattle. Like, they're going to be developing their follow-up to Firewatch as a Valve game.
Half-Life Watch. Just
confirmed.
How weird, though, you know, this whole Steam Spy thing, where, you know, it's basically like, you know, Steam ruins this website for the thing, and then the guy's like, well, I just so happen to be studying business analytics for the past 15 years and have a PhD thesis in, like, predicting, you know, he's like, and so I'm basically just going to make an algorithm to try and figure this out, you know, like, hey, you, yeah. How could, you could not be more perfectly suited to just flip this website and be like, nah, I got this. I got this. We can keep it going.
Give this guy a fucking job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Hey.
Jobs too.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of. You know where I'm going. I'm going to announce it right now. I think you guys are on board. I don't see. Like, so we're going to talk about Billy Mitchell. From King of Kong fame, anybody who's familiar with that movie immediately knows who Billy Mitchell is. I'm going to give him the 2018 shoddy. We'll readdress this in the Game of the Year discussions. Last year, I feel like Ajit Pai, the head of the it's the FCC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Major douchebag. We gave him the shoddy last year. I feel like he kind of stole it from Billy Mitchell before we had the whole story, because we were talking about Billy Mitchell because he was in some trouble for potentially falsifying his world record high score in Donkey Kong and being the first player to ever reach a million points in Donkey Kong and all the Billy Mitchell that goes along with that.
Perhaps this is like a lifetime achievement award.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah, like, you know, lifetime achievement in Schadenfreude goes to Billy Mitchell. He has been stripped of all video game, as far as I know. I thought it was just Donkey Kong, but apparently all video games that was on the Iron Galaxy, is that correct, website? Been taken away. Twin Galaxies, yes. It was proven that through analyzing the videos that he submitted of his high score runs, people proved that he was using MAME boards to...
Oh, but he's never even played on MAME before.
Yeah, according to Billy Mitchell. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He never, what is that? What is MAME?
Huh?
Let's approach this from this way. Justin and Bo, what's your high score in Donkey Kong?
You know, probably like 15. I don't know.
23 yeah. Donkey Kongs? Yeah. That's more than Billy Mitchell has.
Yeah.
He literally has no points. He's been completely stripped of all recorded records in Donkey Kong whatsoever, because it was proven that he was cheating. And for anybody who saw the movie The King of Kong and knows who Billy Mitchell is, this is particularly good Schadenfreude, because he's just such a major douchebag about everything. And his whole persona revolves around that he's like the greatest and rah-rah Billy Mitchell, and he's just been knocked down like the biggest fucking peg ever. And then immediately after this happened, like, filmed a video saying, hey, all the evidence is coming, I have all the tapes, we're gonna release all the evidence. And it was like this really rambling crazy person video where he didn't actually say anything, but it was very Billy Mitchell and it was fun to watch. So
mentioned, and the most redeeming, the most wonderful thing about this is not that he got what was coming to him, it's that Steve Wiebe is now officially the first person to make a million points in Donkey Kong.
Yes.
He will forever and always be the King of Kong.
Yeah.
Forever, Billy Mitchell. I know you're out there, Bill.
you know he's listening to the Shotcast.
You ever listen to this?
Chewing on his little blankie, crying.
Never has there been a more punchable aura of a human being.
This story exists to make me happy that we chose the name Schadenfreude Gaming for this website. Like, finally, it's all come together in this one moment where I get to just enjoy this guy getting taken out. He's such a dick.
the chumpetization of Billy Mitchell.
Yeah. Fuck Billy Mitchell. Fucking cheater.
Yeah.
Goddamn fucking cheater.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's save some of this venom for the end of the year. When he assured to, at the very least, make an appearance on...
Major contender for the Shotty.
Yeah, I mean, he's an early front runner. Yeah. He, you know, he's really got a leg up on the competition by being a
repeat defender. He's so far out in first place right... Yeah, he's so far out in first place right now, I can't even see second place. So...
Yeah, the series of events to get in front of him, I mean, there'd have to be like a Palmer Lucky with some more of that really weird Metal Gear cosplay, but he's like doing it in a Ruth Chris. And
he's in blackface.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, it's just too many levels that would have to happen to get in front of Billy Mitchell just being stripped of everything that he's ever worked.
I feel like Palmer Lucky could, you know, put on a good show. Like he could be a contender, but I just don't think he'd take it away from Billy Mitchell this year.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, he got 7 months to pull it off.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Somebody could see Biscuit this thing. We, you know, I mean, if the past year or more has taught us nothing else, it's that yes, every day can be worse than the last. So, so I just don't want to oversell Billy Mitchell just yet.
Okay. All right. I'll try to keep it inside.
Yeah. Keep your enthusiasm for what a god awful piece of shit he is.
Fucking cheater.
Right. He's a filthy, filthy cheater. What else you got for us there, John?
That's the news.
All right. Well, folks, we appreciate you sticking around. One more time. We are going to go around the table here, as usual, random pick out of the hat. Justin, how about you you tell us what you're looking forward to playing in the next couple of weeks?
Probably more PUBG, as usual, more Escape from Tarkov. I'll probably get back into some Frostpunk and try and give it its, you know, the old college try. Past that, not too much. I wish I was more excited for some games coming out soon for PC, but I just,
it's a bit of a dead zone.
It feels like we're stuck in this like PUBG, Fortnite news cycle that just keeps revolving around. I guess I wish there was something else, not like those games coming out.
Have you considered God of War?
I haven't.
I hear it's quite good.
Hey, I've heard as well.
That's the rumor.
I'd have to get a console for that, I believe.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, sometimes.
Sometimes you gotta get
it. And you go back to the days where you could go to like a place and just rent like a PlayStation for a weekend.
Yeah, playing this game kind of made me want to rent like a PlayStation Pro. Just to see what the difference was in terms of quality between, you know, my old plain Jane PS4 and what the new hotness does. John, how about you? What are you going to be playing over the next couple of weeks?
Some more Far Cry. Definitely some more Sea of Thieves. Because of all the busyness I had with the classes I was finishing up, I didn't have a whole lot of time to play Sea of Thieves, so I watched a bunch of streams and learned a bunch of interesting things to do in that game, and I'm anxious to just roll around in a ship and get better at doing all the things you do in Sea of Thieves. That game's pretty neat.
More like Sea of Dweebs.
Sea of Dorks, man. Game sucks. There's nothing doing. Yeah.
Is your boat running?
Yeah,
better go catch your boat, man. I will probably be catching up with that as well. And, of course, more God of War and a game that I've tinkered with a little bit. I want to play some more of it called Lobotomy Corporation. I've only
sounds promising.
I've only played a couple of hours of it. but it's a game in which you are essentially the operator of the facility from Cabin in the Woods.
Nice.
And you have employees that you're sending to try to draw energy from these monsters that show up periodically. And sometimes the monsters just eat your folks, because sometimes that happens with monsters. And I've had a pretty good time playing it so far.
What's it called again?
Lobotomy Corporation. It is a Korean game, and the localization sometimes is not the best.
That's fine.
But that kind of lends to the charm, as far as I'm concerned. Odd little game. I read something about it, and if you say, hey, this game's kind of like Cabin in the Woods, I'm like, immediately I purchase it. Basically, if you say, hey, this game reminds me a lot of the show Firefly or the movie Cabin in the Woods, then I just automatically buy it. It could be like, this is the evil reverse of the goodness that is Firefly. Firefly, you say? A while back, they were talking about doing an MMO of Firefly.
Man.
And I don't know whatever happened to that. I guess it finally just got shelved, but...
We gave all our money to Star Citizen.
Yeah.
It's a rich universe, man. You could come up with something pretty good for that.
Yeah, yeah. I always thought that lent itself well to the idea of like, oh, there are these frontier worlds and, you know, that kind of thing. But that's neither here nor there. Folks, thanks again for listening. You can check us out on the Twitter at SDF Gaming. You can find this show and other videos and whatnots at SDFGaming.com. And, of course, on Facebook, because Facebook continues to grow in popularity each day.
Everybody loves Facebook. Yeah. There's zero problems with Facebook. It's amazing.
They are much better than cats. I will
see Facebook again and again.
Yeah, welcome to middle age. There are four people who get that joke, and they're all 43. At any rate. SDFGaming.com, and then over on the Facebook at Schadenfreude Gaming. I guess that's it, folks. Anything else? Am I forgetting anything consequential before we shutter this episode?
I think we should say goodnight to Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, goodnight, everybody, and let's say one more goodbye to Billy Mitchell.
Suck it, douchebag.
Oh!
Yeah, suck it, asshole.
Night, Billy.